Hey, everybody. Welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 139. Uh-oh, I forgot to prepare and think of special 139.
Didn't Adam say nothing happened in 139?
No, he said nothing happened in 138. Maybe he thinks nothing happens ever.
In 139?
Yeah, 139. Okay.
I couldn't come up with your own.
You'll maybe reader suggest or listener suggestions.
Anything. I found Uncanny X-Men 139 has the cover of Welcome Kitty Pryde to the X-Men Revive Experience.
Okay. That was just used on.
Yeah, they just used that on all new X-Men to welcome Miles Morales, but apparently that didn't happen inside the book. I didn't read it, but someone mentioned that it didn't happen.
Weird.
But covers always depict what happens.
Always.
Yep.
Always.
It's like stuff on the internet. It's always true.
True.
What's funny is when you mentioned the 139, what cover would fit into that, I said, well, I'm sure there's something X-Men related that fits into that. That's what he pulled out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because around that time, there's a lot.
Well, this is awkward.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Well, I'm Colin McMahon, returning from a one-week sabbatical hiatus. Resting. And joining me tonight are
Josh,
Dave,
Pat,
Adam,
and Gorilla Bob. Why do you always leave him out?
He's not down there. No. He's not there.
What about Beaker?
No, I did not say that. I was doing the Charlie Brown noise. You mistook it for Beaker. It's a big difference.
Bobby Hitler?
I was mentioning that my only critique of last week's show was that sometimes the guys got too far away from the microphone and you couldn't really hear them. And I said it sounded like... And they said that sounded like Beaker from the Muppets, and I was really going for the Charlie Brown teacher thing.
It's too high-pitched.
I think you were both a little off.
Okay.
Because, that was a little like a Beaker.
Saying I'm a little off.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah.
A little bit, yeah.
Well, it's been a long day.
Well, look at who you hang out with.
Well, I'm
you're
here.
You're missing us.
You guys just keep coming. What?
You're just missing us. Got a little jealous because you weren't here.
That's true.
True. True. So Adam, as long as Adam stays away from the Hitler salutes, we're going to be okay this week. Uh-oh. He's upset
Hydra.
Now. It was Hydra. Okay.
They didn't know. They can't see.
Yeah, but then you had to go and talk about it.
That was Pat.
Oh. You're blaming Pat.
Yeah.
That's the worst thing I get blamed for today. It's not that bad.
So... not a whole lot of comic news. I don't remember reading really much of anything. Somebody said something about them killing off Deadpool. Why? But
you said
okay.
Yesterday you were taking a whole bunch of books home.
Yeah, I took them
That's
home.
That's not news, Adam.
No.
That's not news.
See,
That's...
we talked about it yesterday.
I read these.
Tony was here.
I read
and
these.
We were just like, he's like, I'm going to read all of these tonight.
Right.
Well, I didn't even read them.
Those are book reviews.
I read these.
Not
that came out
news.
Like a
yeah,
month ago.
I know. It was just in my pile of stuff read. But I read these six, and actually I also read Thor. So I read these seven books, but I can't talk about that one. Gotham Academy was really good.
I'll say that you've read more than you usually
I'm trying.
Do. So you did
I'm
find some time.
I'll give you that. I tried. I read Gotham Academy. I read Thor, which was good, that I sold out of at 2 o'clock, so I have more on order. So.
And you did try to read some yesterday. You had those damaged ones.
Yeah.
Trying to review.
That's true. I did read something.
Guardians 3000 you had.
Yeah.
You had Gotham Academy.
There's something else I read. Shoot, I don't remember what else. Gotham, or Guardians 3000 was actually pretty good, although the art is really, really Humberto Ramos-y. It's not him, but...
Wow, which doesn't fit the cover at all.
No. It doesn't... I mean, it wasn't bad. It was a little different. But no, it doesn't fit the cover at all. And all these I can talk about, so...
We'll get to those.
Yeah.
Shortly. What did... I did read something yesterday. And it came in
while
damaged.
You were here?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember. Those are the two I remember you had said.
Yeah. Darn it. Okay. It's a blur.
It'll come up.
I was reading that Booster Gold, but I don't think I finished it.
That is one that you were trying to read.
You tried to pick that up.
Then that's when you had to just, like, sit down and do it.
Yeah, I was doing okay, but yeah. Then
you just started. You didn't even get really that far through it.
Because customers...
How dare they?
I know.
Yeah, no.
Can't they just let you read comics?
It's funny. People assume that I sit here all day reading comics, and it really doesn't happen.
Well, people also assume that because the light's on that you actually want to help people.
I do. I help people.
Sometimes they come in wanting to do a scavenger hunt.
Yeah. But like today, I came in today
that's
to watch Shield.
Yeah.
I wanted to watch.
I
want to
hear about the scavenger hunt.
Well, okay, we'll get there. I wanted to watch last night's Shield, and I'm like halfway in, so I've had like 20 uninterrupted minutes today since I got here at 9:30. So you know, it's busy. I'm doing stuff. I'm working.
He's the only one here.
We're here.
So
you don't count.
2 weeks ago was the Magic pre-release. It was a Saturday. And all of a sudden, these people start coming in, acting really weird. And it's like, can I help you? No. And they're looking around, looking at stuff, really. It's like, what? And then, like, the next group came in, and you're kind of going, ah, okay, it's a scavenger hunt. And then it got really, really annoying. It, you know, it's like they're coming in after hours. We're trying to do the magic thing. These people just keep coming in, grabbing stuff, asking questions. It's like...
It was funny because, like, the first group, they didn't really come in. They were like... running around outside, mm-hmm. and they were like driving their cars around and posing in front. And when you saw them take pictures, that's when you thought it was. Mm-hmm. And what's funny is your son was here that day,
mm-hmm.
and he was sitting there at the counter, and they kept on coming in and asking him because you were sorting books at the table, and just they kept on coming in at like spurts, and like they'd come in and like they all did different things. Like when they first came in, like some of them had like these masks, like.
Yeah, that was weird.
What was the one that you commented on? It was like a Mexican wrestler.
Oh, yeah.
Lucha Libre.
Yeah, and...
El Pollo Loco.
Yeah, and just so much is of... And they're like, must have went on for like an hour. But yeah. What's funny is they come in and they're like, you were warned about this, right? And Colin's like...
It would have been
not
nice.
Really,
So just to let you guys know out there is, if you're ever organizing a scavenger hunt and you're going to send people to a retail business, give the business a heads up. Just that these people are going to be coming in and asking for bizarre things that you don't know what they're asking about.
Well, they put you in a position not just that you had, like... You know, the worst thing was that they were interrupting business and stuff that was going on. Like, you had an event going on for Magic. But it was also the fact that, like, you couldn't really tell these people anything because they didn't plan it. Like, this is an event scheduled for them. So they think everything's set.
So they didn't know any better, yeah.
So they didn't know any better. Mm-hmm. So whoever planned the event, like, did a poor job. Doing it. It's just not right. Like, you could have worked
they
with
probably
them,
thought
but they didn't
you
work
dropped
with
the ball.
You.
Right, and, oh, let's go to the comic book store at 7:30. Well, I close at 7.
They're like,
so.
They were trying to de-scramble words, and then, like, they had to take pictures with stuff, so they were running around the store, like, grabbing things.
Yeah.
And taking pictures. And, like, one of the people Colin talked to, and he was just like, you know, do you need help with something or anything? And then she was like, no. Like, she was all secretive. And he was just like, okay. And then she, like, walks off, and she, like, she needed, like, Captain America. So the first thing she sees is the business card holder. And she picks it up, and she, like, carries it away. And I was just like,
oh, man.
You know?
Like, yeah, it was...
In all fairness, like, a lot of them weren't that bad. Like, that one was really bad. But, like, they just kept coming in for, like, an hour. And then by that time, he was closed. And, like, you headed out. I was here... I was trying to help some of them figure out their word scramble because I was like, maybe if I help with them get through with this,
they'll
leave quicker. And
how can I help you leave?
So, well, they headed out, and then right when they headed out, like, Tim, who does magic, I told him, I was like, I'm going to turn out the lights here just so they know, like, this is closed. So I walk out. And sure enough, another van comes through, and it parks. And, like, this guy gets out of the car, and, like, he has his mask. And I was just like, yeah, they just closed. And he's just like, oh, okay. But, yeah, it was just obnoxious.
Did you find out, like, who sent them here? With the...
No, no clue. But it was just, yeah, it's just, if you're going to plan something like that.
At least work with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That way you could have been like, it might not be a good idea because I have a huge event.
Yeah.
Like, for magic cards, like, at the end, it might not be a good time, you know, or something.
Just have them come at 8:30 at night.
Yeah, that'd be great. Like now. Like, they can start coming in.
9:30 a.m. on a Wednesday.
So now yeah. We're on edge. We're on edge now that, like, a scavenger hunt's going to come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Like, it's our worst fear.
Quick,
now.
Turn off the lights.
Here they come.
Every week I get to hear about something else wacky. Like, last time it was the stand-up comedian. This time it's
oh, that was a while ago. Yeah, that was a while ago.
But I mean, each week I'm getting a different story.
Yeah, there's well,
ooh, next week.
There's always something
the
entertaining going on
here. The place are amazing.
It's
like a reality show.
It has its moments. Oh yeah, yeah.
There's some that we don't even talk about.
Yeah, well, yeah. There's lots we can't talk about.
He might lose business if we don't. And what's funny, the ones that he can talk about usually buy the best.
intrigue.
Mm. The customers, yeah. Yeah, I'll give you that. Okay, so, yeah, I haven't been up on the news. I don't think I've been avoiding anything. I just haven't really seen much going on. I mean, there was something, I saw something about DC T-shirts. I just kind of laughed at, only because they were licensed. They didn't, someone in the licensing department went, okay, but it's not like that DC created that. That was created by somebody else.
No, and the one wasn't, actually, neither one of them I thought were that bad. No. The one was... Score one for Superman because he's kissing Wonder Woman, and then the other one was I'm training to be Batman's wife.
Yeah.
Okay, unless you're like a super feminist, I really don't see what's
but
wrong with
you. But you have to remember,
that.
On the internet, it's, I'll get super offended about anything. So, I mean, probably not the best thing, but it's not like DC created them.
DC comics.
So.
Up to no good.
Stupid comics.
Stupid comics.
New 52. That'll last.
Reboot it.
Yeah, reboot it.
Yeah,
bring us
back
to really bad sales. Yay.
Yeah.
Keep hearing rumors.
The time when Wonder Woman didn't sell and Aquaman. And...
Maybe this time they could have Wonder Woman walk across the country, Aquaman leave the water. That'd be good.
Aquaman in space.
Ooh, that'd be almost as good as Bucky in space. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Because, he's space ready.
That
guy out of time.
Yeah.
Never had anything to do with space at all.
Out of time and out of air.
They didn't learn with Space Punisher.
Right, so now we have Space Bucky.
We did have Space Hulk, and that was okay. That's when he went on.
Yeah,
but,
World War.
But he was on
planet. Yeah, not, or planet
he wasn't
Hulk.
In space. If he was floating around space, that would be very uneventful.
It seemed more of a boring
Punisher.
8 issues.
Like, there was
Hulk
Space
just
Punisher.
Floating
that was horrible.
In space.
Doing the breaststroke, not getting anywhere.
Nothing to smash.
Nothing to smash, yeah. That would be great.
You guys could write for Marvel.
We should.
We're getting kind of close.
I've said that.
Yeah, it's no worse idea than...
My cat could write for Marvel.
Hey,
Marvel.
Hater.
Well, it seems like they're just letting
anything
pass. I
thought you were saying cat for some reason.
No offense, cat. Yeah. Cat says none taken.
You say I derail the podcast.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Same something. We're on the same subject. Yeah, you did throw us on the path. You did mention Space Bucky.
I did not mention the cat writing for Marvel Comics and then... Okay. If anybody's still listening...
what do they have better to do?
So I missed the...
Yeah, really?
Insult the listeners.
They're probably stuck somewhere where
there goes all of our German listeners.
They have nothing better to listen to, so... But I missed the discussion of Gotham and S.H.I.E.L.D. Premieres, but I
we
thought they were both
it.
Very good.
We,
yeah, I'm just nope. chiming in that I Got thought they were both good. Yeah. I thought they did The Absorbing Man very well. And I'm liking Gotham. I understand the complaints a lot of people have. But overall, it always takes shows a little while to find their feet. And
really
it has promise.
Yeah.
No, there's something you said last week about the Eartha, or maybe it was Dave said about the Eartha Kitt delivery.
Mm-hmm.
I really noticed it in
the second
episode.
Oh, she was true.
Yeah.
I wish I'd never let that penguin go. I want to eat him with my own feet
or whatever, and I'll hold your shoes. Just really, that was, that she was chewing the
all
scenery.
All she was
now.
Missing was row. That was channeling Eartha Kitt.
But I really like the Falcone character, not Falcone-y.
Yeah, everybody.
It would have an I if it was Falcone-y.
Not necessarily.
That's why I was yelling at you last week.
Okay.
You didn't hear me.
In the movie, they called him Falcone.
Yeah.
What did they call him on the cartoon?
He wasn't in the cartoon.
Okay. But yeah, and then the second episode, I thought I enjoyed. I thought that was good. I don't know if everybody saw it. So
it was good. It started off a little. Shaky, I think, but it got good.
I like that they had Mrs. Evil was one of the bad guys, and then the one guy, he's been around, I've seen him and everything, but the main one I remember him from was Field of Dreams. He was the young Doc.
Okay.
In Field of Dreams, those were the two bad guys.
That was a little weird. They were a little brother and sister sleeping in the same
bed. Well, not so much that, but it was just, they were the... Yeah, but it definitely it's setting up Arkham, and you can see a lot of stuff coming down the pike.
Now, the one thing they haven't mentioned, and he wouldn't be district attorney at this point, but I would think this would be a prime time to put Harvey Dent in, maybe as like a young lawyer or
sure, but,
a young ADA
but
or something
really,
like
we
that.
We haven't gotten anything
or
like
even
that
make him part of IA for Gotham PD.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they'll get there. They're wanting to throw these characters as they go.
They probably don't want to throw too many.
Like the one that they just mentioned that's going to be showing up is Zsasz.
Yeah, and it looks like Professor Pig.
I kind of guessed they would use him.
They showed Professor Pig on the preview.
Yeah, they did.
At
least someone with the pig mask.
That's the one fun thing about watching it on Hulu, is you don't get the trailers, which I actually kind of like, because on stuff like this, I don't want to see what's coming. I want to...
Yeah. What's funny is Fish Mooney took them both to, like, a butcher. Remember? Mm-hmm. Some guy comes out?
Yeah.
Maybe that has something to do with Professor Pig.
Yeah, it could be a different take on it.
Yeah. Now, but the one thing that I guess could work well or work bad is they mentioned Dollmaster. Or mm-hmm. Dollmaker.
Dollmaker.
Yeah. Which Arrow did last year. And I guess it could bring up the potential for crossover years in the future. But the problem with that is, okay, we've already done Dollmaker, or Arrow did Dollmaker. Mm-hmm. And I get that, you know, if I got to write a list of 50 DC villains, mm-hmm. 90% of them are going to be Batman villains because mm-hmm. he has the biggest rogues gallery. But, you know, I don't want to see a villain I've seen somewhere mm-hmm. else yet.
I don't think it's going to. I don't think it's ever going to cross over. Reasoning for it is everything in the Gotham has already been modernized to this time period.
Yeah.
Of now, this is the present.
So they're not portraying it as a...
Like, Bruce listening to, like, the headphones and stuff like that, listening to the music, cell phones, computers, stuff like that. A lot of that has already been used. So it doesn't really set it... It's already set into a time.
No, and I agree
with
that.
Plus, Dollmaker was killed
In Arrow. Yeah.
So,
well, what I heard is that they may play this off as almost like the origin of Dollmaker, and then Arrow.
And they could, I guess, because, I mean, it's possible. Like, I can't really say that it's not.
But you're right, because the way Gotham is...
I don't think it would connect very well. People would...
They'd have to age characters to put them on Arrow. It's more of a crossover with Arrow than Arrow can cross back
over. Let's say Gotham takes 20 years, plays 20 years after or before Arrow.
Yeah.
I guess it could still... So I don't know. I mean, I guess it's possible. I just don't know.
Unrelated networks, and I think it's different, like, producers.
I don't think they'll play around with that yet.
The only common thread is just DC's involvement.
Yeah.
I was listening to a podcast, and they were really bemoaning the fact Another one.
Why would you do that?
Because when I drive around, I want to listen to stuff. I don't want to listen to myself again, you know. But one thing, they were bemoaning the fact that all the shows were on all these different networks. And I'm like, well, first of all, CW wouldn't want to have all these shows.
What do they want? One superhero network?
Well, kind of. Now they can't follow the Marvel movie formula so that all these then can tie in. And I was of two thoughts of that. One, CW wouldn't want to become the superhero network because that wouldn't work. You got, you know, variety and everything like that.
If it all stopped...
Right. One thing, like Lucifer was on one station and Constantine's on another. And the big one they got into was that TNT had Teen Titans. So would they do a new Deathstroke with a different actor on that? And part of my thought was, okay, yeah, they can. But why couldn't you also use the same actor?
Yeah.
Because it's the difference with the Marvel is having is they sold all the rights to Spider-Man to Sony. And they sold the rights to the X-Men to Fox, whereas they didn't sell anything. TNT is putting on this show. So, you know, DC has retained all their rights and everything. So there's no reason. And wouldn't TNT love to have Arrow?
It's owned by Warner, so they can...
Or not even, but then, right, but I'm just saying, like, through the different shows...
TNT, CBS, and CW... are all under the same umbrella, so they could
easily use.
Yeah, so I'm just kind of going, why would you automatically assume they couldn't do these things?
Yeah.
Just because Marvel can't use Spider-Man in a Marvel movie.
Has it already been said that they're not going to mix the movies with the television?
DC said that, but
I think they might mix the television together, especially because I think it's the same production team doing Supergirl and doing Teen Titans as Arrow and Flash as well. So
the two main ones I think people really want to see crossover with the movies is Arrow and Flash. I mean,
tone's too different.
Yeah,
between the way the tone they're setting for the movies and the tone in those, at least in Arrow, We'll see what Flash.
You mean the tone between Arrow and Man of Steel?
I actually think the tone of Arrow and Man of Steel work very well. I've seen the pilot of the Flash. I think that's a little different.
But they're going.
But it's still going to work.
No, Arrow has that CW like teen drama feel to it a little bit.
It's more of a personalized, and you know, when you're dealing with a TV show, you have 22 hours worth of programming to tell a story, whereas in a movie you have two and it's condensed. No, so you don't see the love story between.
I understand, but
how do you feel between S.H.I.E.L.D. and Avengers, or S.H.I.E.L.D. and Captain America? I mean, there's kind of a difference in feel in those two as well.
It's the same tone. The only difference is S.H.I.E.L.D. seems less polished to me, but the tone still seems the same.
I actually see it as being, just because it's very Buffy the Vampire Slayer like, because it's made by the same, not the same people, but basically the same people.
Yeah,
I feel like S.H.I.E.L.D. has that feel to it as the movies don't. So I do kind of feel that WB feel with that show.
Well, yeah, I mean, they definitely deal more with like the drama aspect.
So I think that's just how it's going to feel. But if you actually use the actor and the character, I think that could work still. Not necessarily the feel of the show, but maybe throwing that character into a different type of feel might be different. Yeah, it might.
I just think if they took, his name's Stephen Amell, and put him into the movies, I think he could work there, but he would come across very different. Like, his dialogue would be completely different, the tone. I mean, I don't think that he would be. He would almost be acting it out in a completely different way.
Yeah, I can see what you're saying. I can. I mean, I don't know. I'd have to see it, really, just to see what they do, but...
Like, Coulson, at least. Coulson in the show still feels like Coulson from the movies. He's a bit more, ham-fisted with some things and dialogue, but
He seemed more... I don't know. I don't want to say, tough, but he seemed more, he seemed a lot cooler in the movies.
Well, you got little glimpses of him.
Yeah.
Yeah, and now he's kind of he's kind of boring now in the TV show. Which, maybe that's it. Maybe they gave us so much of him that we're just like, he's not very entertaining now. He's not mysterious.
Well, his character's changed now a little bit, and he's being more detached from the team, it seems.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which works for the season.
Since he's director.
Yeah.
So when do we got these new shows?
Next week, I think.
Next week starts, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the 7th is Flash.
The 8th is Arrow, and then the 12th is, Constantine is not until October 24th.
And it's a Friday, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then The Walking Dead starts up.
Yeah, because all the rest are CBS-based shows, CW. But this one is NBC. Constantine's NBC.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm excited for Flash. I think that's the one I'm most excited for.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to Flash a lot.
Yeah. You see what I'm trying to do.
But, so, I guess we could talk about this latest Gotham. Well, first, did you watch S.H.I.E.L.D., Colin? The first one,
yes.
Because you both didn't really talk too much about it, but there's just a few things I can mention.
Yeah, because you hadn't seen it either.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. I'll give you that. I had a few problems with it, though. First, I still can't take Skye seriously. Even if you dress her all in black and give her more moves and she can actually shoot a gun without even trying to aim, I'm just like, yeah, that's a little much. But besides Skye, because that's already a set problem, one of my biggest issues with the whole episode, and if this was all that I had, it really isn't that, it's not huge, but I like the Absorbent Man. I thought he worked pretty well. He reminded me of the character straight from the comic book. My problem was the scene where he goes after, what's his name, Talbot? He goes after Talbot, and May comes out of nowhere, and he picks up the ball and chain. And when he picks up that ball and chain, I was like, the comics, this is awesome, But he swings this thing at her. She's standing, almost the same distance from me and Colin right now. Which is probably, 3 feet? Maybe less.
Yeah.
But she dodges it.
She's a ninja.
He's a super villain.
She's a ninja.
She's swinging a chain. I don't care. What kind of ninja is she? She's some sort of super ninja. She is on the wrong...
They said she's a super ninja.
If she is able to dodge that, she's on the wrong team. She shouldn't be on S.H.I.E.L.D. She should be, on the Avengers themselves.
Does he move slower whenever he is, you know, taking on the form of something that's a harder material?
Like metal? I don't think.
Well, that's just it. He doesn't have super speed. He can just absorb
material. And it wasn't like a horrible metal. Like, he should have been able to lift something like that. But it moved quick. I saw it. It moved pretty fast.
But she moved quicker.
And she moved and dodged that a little quick.
We need a ball and chain.
I just don't take it. I can't take it seriously because I didn't take it seriously in the comics because they never really did that of them going up, besides maybe Nick Fury, mm-hmm. going up against a supervillain. Like, I could see him going up against something like AIM or Hydra or something like that. I'm just like, okay, this makes sense. But when they go up against, like, Absorbing Man or something, somebody that Thor has taken on,
Batman,
she dodges it. There's a difference between Batman and Agent
Batman.
May.
No, I know. But
we can't,
saying,
but
no,
we can't compare.
No, the answer to that question is he's Batman.
Yeah. You might have to leave now. I don't know. No more discussion of Batman. No, especially when we're talking about Shield.
Bye, guys.
Yeah. Mentioning Batman. We'll talk about serious conversations a little bit. We're talking about Shield now. It was kind of a small thing, but I said, he's a supervillain. She's not. Like, it seems really odd.
Right, but he is like a C-level supervillain.
Yeah,
so,
but this is a character that went up against Thor in the comic books. I mean, if Thor and May, there's a big difference between the characters.
That little kid.
Maybe she's
on
the new Thor.
Okay, you don't want to get me started on that little kid taking on the Rhino.
Way to derail a conversation.
What was your favorite part of the movie, you said?
Oh, God.
I had to make up for Batman.
Yeah.
The whole stuff with the Fitz is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was,
I think he has brain damage,
season.
But
I have to say there was a point in the second one. I'm only halfway through, but where she starts saying something like, "He's like, well, what? You know, why don't they like me? Well, why don't you do something to hurt them or something like that?" I'm like, is that like Loki now?
Yeah.
That's like almost went, because it almost sounded like she was turning a little bit evil, trying to get him to do something bad, and I'm like, whoa.
Unless he's just a psychopath.
Yeah, but you didn't watch the whole thing.
No, I haven't.
Yeah,
finished.
It gets better.
Okay.
Because that's kind of what I thought too. Like, is she going to turn him, you know, mm-hmm. Into the evil Fitz? He's going to grow a beard.
Yeah, yeah. Then you'd know,
yeah,
like
well,
evil because you're right. Comforting. You know, when you saw Ward, he had the beard. You knew he was evil.
That's right. Well, that was actually my other issue with the show is Ward. When did Ward become Hannibal Lecter? Like, I don't understand his character. All of a sudden, he's now suicidal. He's, you know, what exactly happened in between?
He loves her.
What happened over the summer that I missed?
He loves her.
Yeah.
He's just like, I tried to run into the wall and I killed myself. She's like, seriously? Why don't we get to see that? Like,
here's the thing.
Plus side, we didn't see him at all this week.
But she ain't that hot.
Not enough to kill yourself by running into a wall.
No.
But again, I want to see that. What?
She can shoot a gun without aiming, Pat.
Do they at least have behind the scenes on the internet, like, of him running into walls?
Oh, you want to see, like,
the
outtakes? Webisodes?
Yeah. The webisodes. This is war. He's trying to kill himself by running into a wall.
Well, remember,
just
first
like,
thing
yes.
he tried to do was he snapped a button and used that to try to cut his wrist.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. I can't even figure out where that came from.
Well,
like,
so now they make him
nowhere.
Be naked all the time. She's like, I'll check on him.
Yeah, Sky.
But he wasn't in this week's episode, which is good. So hopefully they're not going to do constantly her going to him and getting information.
Hannibal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They said today
next week he'll be
Ward's brother.
Oh,
yeah. Who's a senator?
A senator, yeah.
But he has information about her dad. Because I'm so excited to learn about her dad.
Her dad
Who
is
Kyle McLaughlin?
Agent Cooper.
Oh. Does he have a secretary named Diane?
He loves
coffee.
Coffee,
yeah.
And cherry pie.
Man, I need to rewatch that. Just season one, but I need to rewatch it.
Did any of you watch the show Psych on USA?
Mm-mm.
Oh, they had a great Twin Peaks episode with all the former cast.
I saw that one, yeah.
That was a good show. Yeah, that was a good show.
All in all, it wasn't that bad. Like, it was an interesting start, so we'll see. Sky was replaced by a monkey in the comic book, though. It's kind of funny.
I still think it's better than every episode last season.
Yes.
Yeah.
Actually. But,
yeah.
Actually, I'd rather see the monkey. Could you imagine that? The Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. added a monkey to this.
Maybe
staff?
They
you imagine
they
Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. with a monkey?
Yeah,
what?
Well, he kind of is, but
Monkey what? Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Does it hit monkey?
I don't think.
Maybe that. Well, she can shoot a gun without even aiming. Maybe she is.
No, that is Sky. That's actually Sky. We're confusing her again. No, that would be cool. Add a monkey to the cast. I mean, when can you go wrong with that?
No, monkeys improve everything.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
Like Super Friends.
That's true.
Space Ghost.
Space Ghost had a monkey.
More serious.
Monkeys can do all the stuff that Sky could do. Even better, you know?
I don't know if monkeys can hack computers.
We totally lost our Sky demographic.
Way to go.
All the Sky fans are like, well, turn it off. Can't take this anymore.
Yeah, but I don't think her parents ever listen to this show anyway.
That's true. Her parents are listening to it as well. Her parents are like, we agree.
Ward's listening right now, running him into a wall.
Yeah, like, I can't take these people.
Stop talking about her like that.
Leave Sky alone.
Dave, speak up.
What's he ever do to you?
I'm gonna get you, Beaker.
Oh, we've debunked this.
We talked about Gotham. We talked about S.H.I.E.L.D.
About the first
Next week we got Arrow and Flash coming, so that's gonna be good.
Yes.
Gotham, yes.
He didn't talk about the second episode.
No, well, I didn't know if everybody'd seen it.
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
Everybody seen it?
Or are you a pirate now? Arr.
No, I said I. There's a difference.
He's a sea captain. Sea captains say I.
They say it twice, though.
Yeah.
No, we talked about it. I thought,
yeah.
I just didn't see the show.
Yeah.
It's definitely taking Alfred from Earth One rather than the, you know, stuffy.
Then again, he isn't tough, though, because, like, with his conversation with Gordon on the at the house, or no, and he was just like, I don't know what to do, and, you know,
which I'm glad that he kind of referenced that something is going on with this kid, and
I was telling Colin about that, because that's what I talked about in the last one. I was like, this kid seems like a psychopath, and they were just like, well, they addressed that, so
I was glad that they did explain why he has taken, because
it was just a little much, I thought, so. At least they fit that into there a little bit.
But it's kind of interesting how they're playing up Gordon a little more. I realize it's a Gordon-based show, but showing him as an influence on Bruce. And so, you know, now with Bruce and Batman, you know, there's a reason that he respects him.
But, and that's all I was saying. The good part about that is, you know, it wasn't just he met him the one time when his parents were, you know, like in Batman Begins. He meets him when his parents get killed. He puts a blanket around him or a jacket around him, and now he just automatically trusts this guy. We're here, you know, you see him, you know, they'll kind of not be together, but, you know, they'll know each other for years. So he knows truly that Gordon is a good guy, and he's incorruptible.
I did find the thing where he offered to give up his shield because they caught the wrong guy or whatever. That was a little hokey in the first one. But.
It was. It suffers from a few, like, cheesy dialogue points, especially between Gordon and Bullock. Like, some of the lines of dialogue there are just really too on the nose. But
I really like the Penguin stuff.
The Penguin, I think, right now is the best character.
Yeah, in that show. I really do like the guys playing the Penguin.
Yeah.
He looks like Tobey Maguire, though.
Yeah. I didn't like I didn't like the person that played his mother.
The whole
Carol Kane.
It was a little, it's not that I didn't like her. I didn't like that they went that direction. Because it
you expected the Pee Wee Herman version?
Did it not feel like that? Did it not feel like Batman Returns?
I had to go back and look because I was thinking she played.
I thought that too. I was like, this is Batman Returns.
Pee Wee Herman.
Yeah, have fun taking over the
guy. Yeah, that's Pee Wee Herman. That's Pee Wee Herman.
But it wasn't.
No, I just.
Wait, Pee Wee Herman's his mom? What?
It's his dad.
It's a very modern.
Come here, Penguin!
That's how it went, too.
What's the magic word?
Yes. It's death and murder. I don't know. Yeah, it was really channeling Batman Returns, so I wasn't very fond of that. I kind of like the idea that they work with now, where he's like one of the families of Gotham and stuff like that, and I wish they would have went in that direction, because that's what a lot of people know right now.
Yeah.
But... you know, we'll see what they do with that. Something funny on the internet last night after the show was over, Gotham posted on the Facebook news article, and it said, as the topic, it said, "Cat finally speaks." And I was just like, we've had two episodes. What are you talking about? She finally. It's not like we were both all sitting here like, when is she going to say something?
Is she
we were that impatient.
I don't like that she kept telling people, Call Me Cat.
I didn't like that either. Cat. A little much.
They're trying way too hard to refer to these people by.
I would have liked it if their name was just.
Well, they all are animals: penguin, cat, fish.
Like it's you don't have to force it. We know who she is.
Bullock.
Pig.
Oh wait,
be a pig.
She really looks like Michelle Pfeiffer. I thought.
Yeah, they keep saying that she does have a little bit of her daughter, features to her, but I thought she did a good job. I thought that whole thing with her and. You know, but she wasn't, you know, she wasn't quite Catwoman. She was still a kid.
Yeah.
And so she when she ran into to Dollmaker's, like, henchwoman or whatever, she didn't know what to do.
Did she claw that guy's eyes out?
Yeah. Yes. But that's what she told. I love that because she told that little kid, and she's like, you claw his eyes out. And I was just like, oh, my God. And, just a scratch. Ripped his eyes out. That's how she survives, though. So I thought that was kind of cool, actually. I thought that was a good ad because, you know, she's a survivor. And the whole episode was really good. Mm-hmm. For a second episode, I thought that really did it for her.
Now, the scene with Essen where she's with Bullock and Gordon, she asks, but well, I thought Gordon was on the program now. That part I didn't really like.
I wasn't too sure. I guess mainly, not. It doesn't mean that all of them are crooked. It seems like that when you say that, the way she said it. But
well, like when they go to investigate the bum that was murdered, and the guy's like, "Well, I was checking in the restaurant, you know, because they paid me $50 bucks." And Bullock's up, he's like, "He's got a point." I thought.
But it's just like that guy that he was just talking about. That's crooked. Yeah. But like, what's her name? Essen. Yeah. She wasn't, I don't know necessarily if she's crooked or not, mainly if they're all just like, there's a way things go in Gotham.
Yeah.
And if you don't follow that, you die.
Right, like, but you wouldn't have made it to police captain
if
you weren't with the program. They would have kept you as patrolman.
That's the thing. But
like
you can, though, but that's because, you know, you keep those people up there because they're the people who are going to do what you say. So let's say the commissioner is the corrupt one or the mayor is. Who are you going to place? The person that's a yes man? You know, then that's what they did. They placed a yes man into the position. So it doesn't necessarily mean she's corrupt, but she's dead.
She doesn't know exactly what Bullock asked Gordon to do, just that Gordon is following along now.
I did like the part later when he was beating the guy, the medical warehouse guy, with the phone book, and he's like, this guy's the most straight-laced guy. If he's telling me to keep hitting you, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that.
I like the stuff with Falcone and Fish.
Mm-hmm.
When they had
her boyfriend.
But it was really funny because, like, while watching that, I was just like, I just liked them going back and forth because it seemed like they made it so much like he was just going to be like, I believe you. But it's just like, no, he doesn't. He doesn't believe a word you're saying. You know, once he was asking those questions, I was like, this isn't going to go well for that guy. And you kind of knew that from the beginning because of how they were interacting, those two.
Mm-hmm. But you know Falcone is going to make it out of the series.
At least.
Or theoretically, he should make it out of the series. Fish Mooney may or may not. So really the only question is who gets her. Is it going to be the Penguin or is it going to be
Falcone? I think it's going to be Penguin. Yeah. I really do. I think it's going to be Penguin. I think he's going to become in charge. I think they'll leave a character like Falcone going. And then, but I think they will put an end to her pretty quick. Either Falcone will put – I mean, it's possible Falcone could put an end to her and he could take her place.
Yeah, the Penguin could end up taking
either
her
way,
family.
I think she's going to take – I think Penguin's going to take her place, not necessarily Falcone's.
No,
and I think they're going to keep Falcone going a little bit.
Well, and I also mentioned Sal Moroni, too.
Oh, yeah, you did mention that.
Which I liked, because then they mentioned the number two in Gotham.
Yeah.
In Gotham crime.
I think seasons down the line is when you'll see Penguin start to give Falcone a run, but now he'll be...
I like how he's not Danny DeVito, where he's very, you know, monstrous.
Yeah,
he's just
was a little bit like that when he popped out of the when he popped out of
the
water.
Had like almost looking like the Long Johns.
Yeah,
not Long Johns again.
Yeah, he just the only thing is he's like a mixture of the two in a way.
Yeah.
But he's enough monstrous that he fits more with like he's. I think it'll give it time. Because if you think about it, Penguin is kind of a, you know, a monster even in the stories. But he's not, like, one of the crazy people. Which is funny, because when they throw... Like, whenever I see him in the comics and I'm reading stuff that's maybe older or something, and they put him in Arkham, and I'm like, he's not supposed to be in Arkham. He's supposed to be in Blackgate, you know?
Yeah. It's almost like controlled insanity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. That's kind of where it, what it is. So I...
The insane things he does are done for show.
Yeah.
And business.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's all, you know, it's all business with him. So that's kind of the Penguin I want to see. I feel like we're going to get a little bit of that, but you got to have a little bit of crazy to be in Gotham.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing. And I think that's kind of the way they're going with it. But, I don't know.
Okay.
What's next?
I think we'll talk about some books, and then maybe we'll get to previews.
I thought all this was TV and movies.
No. Well, that seems like all we talk about, but... We've got stuff to talk
people
about.
Read books.
By late
now,
fall,
now I'm late bringing
about.
This one to the table. We probably already talked about it. I'm going to start because I wasn't here last week.
You go ahead and start.
It's Superman Unchained 8, which I thought was really good, but it also made me realize that this would have been a much better if they just waited till it was done and put it all out, or it's even original graphic novel. Just the story's been good, but man, I can't figure out. There was probably a lot of little nuances that I'm totally missing because I'm sure the script was written a year ago. And it's just finally being drawn. But yeah, it's been good.
If it was separated from everything else, would it make any difference in story?
No.
Or continuity? Mm-hmm. Then yeah, well, I kind of thought that myself.
Yeah. So.
Is Unchained
part
of...
I can't talk about those.
Part of New 52?
Yeah.
It is,
but it isn't.
You don't know what timeline.
Yeah,
that's
what it is. They don't throw
it's
anything
all, it's
going
just
on,
by
like
itself.
Events or anything.
Okay. Yeah. So I finally got caught up. Most of these I read last night or this morning. Batman Eternal was good. Definitely amping up Hush. I know you guys mentioned you didn't like the art. I thought it was really neat about the art, just the fact that it was R.M. Guerra who did all of Scalped with Jason Aaron. So it's a very Vertigo-ish style on a Batman book. So it not clean, not neat like a lot of them, but I enjoyed it a lot just for that.
Alfred looks like Ron Jeremy.
Yeah, but the fact that they're putting different types of artists on it, I think, is kind of neat. And here's somebody who's kind of probably sitting there, I don't want to say with nothing to do, but, you know, here you go. Here's a chance, you know, go do a Batman book.
It's good they're having different artists do it, but you can't be that different in the look of the book. Like, you can have different
techniques. That's it. I don't think it's necessary. I think you're right. I think it's a lot of the times, like, with a weekly book, they can only do so much. Yeah, they got to have one artist because another artist is working on the next one or something like that. But with this, it seems like all of a sudden we get like a drastic change between art
and
styles.
Thing,
I think that's mainly what it is because I can't
say
it's like horrible, but
you
like
can
there's
do,
sometimes.
You can do two different technical styles, but still the characters look the same at the core.
Yeah.
This is like drastically different looking characters.
It was a little different. Yeah, I do have that kind of issue. I had that issue with Spider-Man, with Superior Spider-Man, whenever they switch from Stegman to what's his name?
I don't know.
Who's the Spider-Man artist right now?
Ramos? I don't know
Ramos.
Who's doing it right now.
Ramos. Okay. Whenever they switch between him and Ramos, like, Ramos has a very cartoony style, where Stegman necessarily isn't very, like, that cartoony. Like, Ramos is very, almost like an anime-like feel sometimes. Like, not like that, you know, really cartoony anime, but, like, you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, changes of art can do that. But it's difficult with a weekly book, I could say, because, like, they gotta have artists on it, like, all the time just to keep it weekly.
Yeah, I mean, is this the same artist that did that one where they were in... Brazil when it looked all
no
that
was
somebody
else.
That one I didn't mind because that reminded me of Burham.
Yeah, me too. It was, but it was very, very different.
Technically on its own, it would have been fine, but it was just too different from everything else we've seen.
Yeah, taken in context of everything else.
I think that's the main problem. I really do. You know, because I liked his. You liked it. I remember because it reminded me of Batman Inc., which I really love Batman Inc.
I love Batman Inc.
But if you take Burham and you switch him with like Capullo, there's a big difference.
Yeah,
you know, it's in a week's time. You're reading it this week, and then you read it next week. You're like, who are these characters?
It's
brand new.
Jarring.
This doesn't even look
it's
like what
really
I was reading.
Jarring.
Yeah, I think that's what it really is. But Colin liked it. He says we have to like it.
I don't say.
Or we can't come back.
No. But there was a lot that I really liked in this where it was all, you know, it was Batman and the Bat family, and it really focused on all of them.
Very John mm-hmm.
But it was yeah. fun with
Harper.
Well, yeah, but the Red Robin, not Tim Drake, it was the other guy.
Jason.
Yeah.
Jason,
talking, yeah. And then talking about their girls and things like that, yeah. and that yeah. banner. And then the fact talking to Penny One, or talking to the girl, Penny Two, he's like, oh, that's clever.
Original, yeah.
Yeah, and just, and then especially right at the end where it's like, you know, belay that order.
We got
we
this.
We have this. And she didn't realize that there, you know, that someone mentions the families on the,
she,
on
yeah,
their way.
She didn't know who.
She's what, like, the family.
Was it in that issue? Was it in this issue?
Yeah, the dinosaur was in
when
this.
When they get into the debate about the dinosaur? Was that this issue?
Where she says, at what point did you decide
that you needed the
dinosaur?
That,
when you're
that was funny.
10-year-old
and it was
boy.
Fun. It's like, can you patch this through? She's like, oh, yeah, which of the 18 cars you own do yeah. I, you know, my dad could have made this a lot simpler. Now, it is funny because. Depending
like
on who's
horrible.
Doing it, some issues she looks African American, sometimes she doesn't, so I don't
she's
know what
yeah,
or Asian.
The color is
yeah, so I don't know what she
skin.
Is. There she
like
just
chameleon.
Looks, yeah.
Yeah. So, she's putting on.
She is yeah. British, well, we know that much.
Yeah, no, well, I guess there she looks African. But you just don't
she
know.
Had, she was very tan.
And as she's in the manor of the sun, yeah. that's why she's lighting back up.
Yeah, again. Now yeah. she'll be a little pasty. Okay, yeah.
But
no, I thought this was good. Looking forward to reading the one that came out today. But it's been a solid series the whole way.
So. And one of the scenes, I don't remember, I think it was like, it was Hush talking to Batman or something like that, where he mentions like, he's like one of your like people or something he was going after or something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember what, they never really said which one it was. Like
yeah.
one of his apprentices or something.
Yeah, but you're right. They didn't say.
And they never said who it was. So I figure maybe we'll see that in this issue that came out today.
Well, I think
but
this issue,
I thought I
focuses more for on that. From what I heard last week. Focuses more on like not the origin of Hush so much, but not taking place in the current time.
I wonder if they're gonna keep his story together, like who he is. I mean, we already
know definitely called him Tommy.
Yeah, that he is. But I don't know whether if they're gonna change like. I doubt they'll change the Hush storyline because what could really
what
could really hurt that? Yeah, what's it really hurt in? It doesn't really affect the post or pre 52. So it,
I mean, they changed Long Halloween.
That's older though. I guess not that much older. No. Though. So that I didn't
not
like.
For the better. It was terrible.
I did not like that at all.
That's what got me to stop reading that book until.
Batman and Robin?
Yeah, until the Robin Rises started.
It just, the whole Two-Face story, you mean?
Yeah, it was awful.
It made no sense. Like,
was
there
awful.
Was no reason for it.
They should have just made that still
yeah.
canon.
That was that Batman and Two-Face. What is that, three-parter?
Five parts.
Was it?
Yeah.
And it just really didn't change anything. I thought it you know, like you didn't have the main crime families and mm-hmm. stuff like that were in the Long Halloween.
So you just do what I do, and you
ones.
Didn't read that, and I ignore that part.
Well, that's basically what I do.
Go back to yeah. the Long Halloween.
It is
canon. Kind of
funny, because that's one thing that they say, and I remember Scott Snyder was saying that, you know, he was trying not to change too much with Batman, but mm-hmm. it got to the point that he had no choice but to change
yeah.
stuff. And,
which that's fine if you have to, if there's a reason you have to change
yeah.
it, but to just do it just to do it.
And
I
that's what
like
I feel like
reason.
This was.
Yeah.
Because I don't see how it would affect anything.
It,
by
it
changing to
it was just they said we're doing all these team ups in
and
this
I thought it was
now,
boring.
And,
I didn't yeah. think it was that interesting of an origin story as
yeah.
much as Long Halloween was. So like I think Pat's right in that you don't.
I can't believe I heard that.
You don't change
and it's on tape, so
yeah.
you're good.
Basically, take what you want because in a way you can make up the story how you want it.
Yeah,
it makes no difference. That's why I don't have that much problem with dealing with the New 52. I did have a problem with the Robin thing. I didn't think it really needed to be done. I didn't really care that much about how old the Robins were, but whatever.
Mm-hmm.
If you take that seriously, take it seriously. But, yeah, it just... I hadn't had a problem because I really... You know, Batman Year One, I think Scott Snyder did a good job with Zero Year to make it coincide.
Yeah.
I thought... I mean, Killing Joke, they changed enough. It would be hard to tie Killing Joke in. It really would. But he took elements from Killing Joke, put it in the Zero Year, and I thought he made an interesting Joker origin without telling us who the Joker was, which is one thing I never really liked about Killing Joke. I like when you don't know what the Joker was.
Yeah.
All I want to know is he was this guy dressed in a red hood. That's all we know. He was mysterious before he became the Joker.
Yeah.
We didn't know who he was. And that guy fell into the pit, and then he became what we know. And in Zero Year, they kind of left it open that we don't necessarily know if that was the guy. You know, because at the end, they were just like, he's damaged. He's, you know, so I thought that was interesting. So, as you were saying, there's ways to do it. And I think Scott Snyder's got a good way of doing it. I think that's why he really survived this so long. Because I think he makes it friendly for everybody. I bet you could find people that dislike the idea of New 52 that will still read Batman and like it. And I think that's where he took it and did good with it. And I think even though I don't think Green Lantern's doing as well as it was with Geoff Johns, I think Geoff Johns did okay with that. I think he did okay with Justice League rebooting it.
With Green Lantern, it's not the quality. It's just the constant crossovers for the past...
Yeah. You know, well, they had a huge storylines going on. The whole thing, every issue
was since Blackest Night, it seems like it's been in constant crossover.
I mean, even with New 52... Johns' run was all one big storyline.
Yeah.
But it's still, you know, the Green Lantern book stood on its own. Corpse stood on its own.
Well, it's kind of like Batman Inc. He was in the middle of an event when they decided to do this reboot.
So you had, had 20-some issues before they started to cross over.
Yeah.
With, you know, since the Rise, since that point, it's been nothing but crossover to crossover with, like, a couple one-shots in the middle. So that's what's hurting it, I think.
As it now goes into a 3-month crossover all the books.
And I'm interested in it, but at the same time, it's like, the covers
are awesome.
The story seems interesting, but...
Oh, typography and stuff.
Put some padding in the middle. Like, wait a little bit to do the next crossover.
Yeah. Green Lantern, that seems like its formula. It seems like they don't really... It's kind of like the... If you think about it, it's kind of like the X-Men of DC, where it's kind of separated its own little entity.
Yeah.
And then, like, everything else is still going on, but X-Men...
But that's still there. It can be, because when you think, you have the different core, they're in space, and there's different core, there are different Green Lanterns, so you can always have a Green Lantern on the Justice League, and have the other ones that are off in space doing their own thing.
Yeah, it's very possible.
Like Simon Bass, he's been a big part of the Justice League.
We
haven't seen him hardly at all.
Green Lantern is its own such a big universe, too. Yeah. Like, you have so many characters in the Green Lantern.
No, and it makes sense to have these big stories with such a big universe, but I feel like... By doing it so often, they're going to be losing readers, because now you're saying we have a 3-month event where you have to buy every single book in this Green Lantern line, which there's several.
There's five books.
Is it five of those? Mm-hmm. More than that?
No, okay. Sinestro, Red Lantern.
How's Sinestro doing?
Okay.
New Guardians, Green Lantern Corps, and regular Green Lantern.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Larfleeze is gone now.
Yeah, Larfleeze is gone. And then you have the bookend New Gods books.
And doesn't Infinity Man and the Tomorrow People tie into it?
I think it's not a
required one, but it ties in.
In just a little bit, being New Gods.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of books across 3 months that you have to buy if you weren't buying them already. Normally I'm just buying the. Now I'm buying more.
Yeah. The only person I really didn't think did a very good job with, I say this a lot, is Scott Lobdell, where he took a lot of things and he changed it for absolutely no reason. Leaving the Robin thing aside, he took, like, Cyborg Superman and changed the entire character. And I was just like, why? What point did you have of changing this character, you know, at all? Why couldn't you work with him? And I don't think it really changed anything, because it's still a guy in a Superman, but they made him a you can't have all these Kryptonians running around, or defeats the purpose of having Superman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Superman's supposed to be the last of his kind, and then you have, like, 12 of them running around, you know?
Yeah.
Well, he's the last of his kind, except for those 12.
Yeah, except for those guys.
they don't count.
Yeah. But it's just, you know. But I think with continuity-wise, I think they're doing pretty good with the Batman stories, and with Scott Snyder behind a lot of it.
Yeah.
Which seems like that's what it is. I think that's why Batman Eternal is doing, as well as it's doing, too.
Well, yeah, because
keeping
he's...
things and telling big stories. But
he's driving
it's like,
a story.
He's driving it, and everybody, they're writing it and keeping it going. Frankly, the Bat team that they have is great.
Yeah.
Right now, yeah. I think they have the best Batman writers that they've had since, you know, for a while, like, of all the books. Mm-hmm. It's like they had to tweak it a lot just to get it, like, Detective Comics. It was really difficult. Like, they weren't getting it. They had, who did they have? Tony S. Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
They had Tony S. Daniel on it, and it just wasn't doing well. And I didn't think Batman, pre-New 52, was doing that well with Tony S. Daniel. But Detective was doing very well, and that's when Scott Snyder was on it.
Well, that's when they moved him over to the bigger book.
Yeah, then they
moved
into the bigger book and took him and put him on Detective, and the Detective wasn't doing well, and they just...
Who was on Detective before Manapul and Buccioletto took over? Was it Layman?
Yes.
That
did well.
He did pretty good. Ups and downs.
I actually liked The Dark Knight better than I liked Detective. And I know they canceled The Dark. What I liked about that is it was a darker book, and you always saw different villains like Clayface and
Mad Hatter.
Yeah, those were kind of the focus.
They had, like,
and I liked that a little bit better.
The first story that they had was Scarecrow. And they did, like, an origin story. Remember, they kind of changed him where his, like, father
was a
psychologist who locked him in the basement with, like, a bunch of, like, dead things and stuff to, like, scare him. And then he studied his fear. And then there was the Mad Hatter story. Oh, Bane showed up.
Yeah, Bane showed up because he was chasing
the
White Rabbit.
Venom. Yeah.
But, yeah, I really liked the Mad Hatter story. The origin that they had for him was pretty interesting too.
Yeah. Yeah, they changed it just a little bit, but enough that it didn't make any difference.
Right.
Like, it was the same, it was the gist of the Mad Hatter. They had that much.
But it was a good jumping on point for someone who didn't know anything about the Mad Hatter because it didn't really change anything.
You know, it freshened it.
Yeah.
It freshened the story for a new audience, and then it keeps it enough the same for the old audience.
That arc, though, got terrible reviews constantly throughout it.
Yeah, it didn't. But, you know, it's basically competing with all the other Batman books. Like, Batman and Robin did well. Been doing well since the beginning.
The Batman books, though, I mean, the one thing they're doing right is they have so many of them, but each one fills a different niche.
Yep.
You remember when when New 52 started, like, a lot of people were calling Batman and Robin their, like, number one book. People just liked it. They liked the dynamic between him and Damian. And, that's what everybody was waiting for, because that's what, right after Batman, Bruce Wayne comes back. And that was the first book I think he starred in with him. That was the first time he was teamed up with Damian. So a lot of people liked
that. Damian and Grayson together.
But, like, Court of Owls was just a really good story. And so both of those were, like, one and two. They were the good ones. And Detective took a while, and you know, and as you said, Dark Knight kind of just floated out there. Like, it wasn't hated, it wasn't, like, not loved. It was just kind of there.
Did Dark Knight follow, like, was it focused more on the supernatural side of things?
No, not necessarily. It was more focused on the darker characters, though.
Okay. Yeah, at first it did.
It started, but it didn't.
It was a book. It was one of those casualties of the New 52.
Mm-hmm.
It started before New 52. The book did, and they were kind of going with a storyline. It was something about, like, this girl that he knew from his
Golden
past. She was missing, and he was and that's when they introduced the guy who became commissioner in Batman Eternal.
Bard?
No, the one before him that he
wrote.
Started
his name. Yeah, I forget his name.
Was it Flask?
No.
Yeah, I don't remember. Him.
He's in jail now.
Yes, he's in jail now. But he was in that. They introduced him. He was like a detective or something. He didn't like... that's where that guy came from. And then it continued. New 52 happened. And they were just like, well, what do we do? So they put a new number one on it. So it's like the beginning of that book floats around, like, has like five issues or something, and New 52 happens, and it's a continuation.
The Marvel treatment.
Yeah, well, exactly. Pretty much, it's a continuation of that in the New 52, and then I don't know if they introduced. No, that kept going, as you said. That was the Scarecrow, then Detective started off with the Emperor Penguin and stuff like that. Which I like that character.
I did too.
It's kind of different. But yeah, I think we're going to see more of that because he's in Blackgate as well. But yeah, a lot of stuff. I think, as I said, I think they're doing a good job.
I'm looking forward to the new Gotham by Midnight or Gotham
Midnight, whatever. Yeah, that seemed interesting. I just like the idea of that.
Yeah.
And I guess that's kind of spinning out of the pages of Batman Eternal because
yeah, sounds like it.
A lot of that supernatural stuff.
No, it's not because it's
Corgan, well, it's got, right, it's got the Spectre.
Is it before Spectre?
Is it?
Okay. No, it's not.
That would be interesting.
Corgan before Spectre is in one of the shows. Is he in Constantine?
Possibly.
Yeah,
they announced Corgan to be Constantine. In one of them. It's before Spectre. So in this Spectre, in the comic book.
It's kind of funny. Drawn by Temple Smith is going to be interesting.
He was created by...
Yeah, the art's great.
He was created in Phantom Stranger. Because he was one of the people on his list that he had to do something, and then somehow he ends up killing him on accident. And it was all part of God's plan, but he had to do it to get rid of his coin. Then he questions God because he's just like, why did you have me do this? Like, this isn't, you know, he's just like, don't question it. That's all, that's my business. You're supposed to lose coins.
Brutal.
Yeah, it is. It kind of is, because he's just like, this is all part of a plan. Like, and his plan was to be, his destiny was to become the Spectre. But Spectre didn't see it that way. And that's why he doesn't like Phantom Stranger. But that's been a good book. But it's going to be ended.
And then coming back with all three of them together.
Yeah, which I'm looking forward to. I'd like to see it. That's
Trinity
what they
of Sin should have three people.
Yeah, makes sense. Not two. That's a duo.
Yeah, it's a duo.
Duo
of
Sin.
You've been waiting for the question? Here he is.
Yeah, it's about time.
You demand it.
That comes out this month, right?
I think so. Yeah. Then Everything in the World is coming out this month.
So
yeah,
those books are over. All-Star Western.
I
want to
go back and read that.
It was good. I really did. I don't think that got a lot of attention it needed. But I thought they did a good job with that. It would be good trades. And it had really good backups. Mm-hmm. A lot of they introduced a lot of characters from, like, probably, I'd say, Silver Age, when they were doing a lot of the Western stuff. Batlash and stuff like that. But they had another, what's that team that got lost that was attacked by Brainiac in Future's End? They had their own Stormwatch.
Stormwatch, yeah.
They made it back up. It's about, like, Stormwatch from that time period.
Mm-hmm.
But it's led by the same guy who's, it's Adam One, I think his name was.
Mm-hmm.
He leads it because he lives for a long time. So he forms like this whole entire team of all these characters that were backup. Well, they did that. They went and did something, like they went to go get something or they had a mission, and that was the end of that story, but it didn't go anywhere from there. And I said, well, that was kind of interesting. Like, give us Stormwatch, but give it to us from another, another time. Let's see what that's like. It's just it's such a different change, and they didn't do anything with it because Stormwatch is canceled, right?
Yeah,
it's been canceled for a little while.
Yeah, it's just like, that's not doing anything. You had something, an interesting idea, why don't you try it? So I don't know why they didn't do anything. And now, what is that book that they said is doing a little G.I. Zombie?
Not particularly, but yeah. Star Spangled War Stories featuring G.I. Zombie.
I've been hearing like a lot of people talking about it.
Yeah, same here.
The first two issues did well. The Future's End one didn't do anything, so...
You know what? I gotta say though, this Future's End. I just
some were good, some were great, some were not.
Not like the villain issues. The villain books were really good.
Yeah, the villain issues
and
were really.
These were just
some were kind of bad.
Okay. With the exception of the Joker's daughter.
Oh God, that was awful.
That was the best selling one.
The Joker one was good. Yeah. I think what was that one that was really good? Was it Riddler?
Riddler was
the one that was good.
Mr. Freeze was good.
Yeah, that went back into that Scott Snyder story. I think that was a Scott Snyder story where he.
The Wonder Woman ones are good. Origin. Cheetah and Firstborn.
Like the yeah, that was good.
Oh, the Anton Arcane one was good.
Oh yeah,
Darkseid was really good.
Yeah.
Swamp Thing was good in these.
Yes.
Future's End.
Swamp Thing
that was
great.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then having Antoine back in it, and then like he was somehow fused with Abigail.
Yeah. His daughter bride.
Yeah. But if you remember the villain issue where he Swamp Thing goes and looks for him or something, and he somehow attaches himself. He takes like an eyeball or something,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he escapes mm-hmm. just that much. The rest of him's still left behind, and then the kid takes
the rotten apple,
and it has an eye in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. And they haven't went back to
so
that.
And they planted the seeds back then. But.
Yeah, so we're waiting for Antoine to come back, because that was a really good start. The New 52, Scott Snyder run of...
Oh, it's great.
Swamp Thing and Animal Man.
It
that was surprising that ended, Animal Man.
I'm glad, like, I'm glad it, the entire run was Jeff.
I mean, he still is writing Lemire. For Animal Man.
But. Yeah, he is. And I think that is, cause it, did it sell great,
Animal it, Man? It did better than I would have expected for an Animal Man book.
I remember, like, when it first came out, like, all your podcasters were talking mm-hmm. about it.
Well, it was just a surprise.
It was surprise because I remember Cullen was surprised about it, if I remember correctly, because of the art. Because you said it was such different art.
Yes.
Travel Foreman's art.
Yeah, but it just worked for the book.
It did.
And then, like, the artist, I think the artist jumped off of that book.
Yeah.
Travel Foreman was on for, like, the first close to a year, I think. And then
he was on. Was he on throughout, what was that, the Rot World?
Mm-hmm. Not through the whole thing. No. That lasted, like, 2 years.
That was good.
2 years too long.
Was really good. Yeah.
But, no, I'm glad that they let Lemire, like, tell his story with that and wrap it up instead of trying to bring someone else in that maybe wouldn't fit well with. Although Charles Soule came into Swamp Thing and it worked. The transition from Scott Snyder to Charles Soule went well.
I'm getting a little concerned about what's going to happen now.
I'm getting the feeling because I watched a couple of those DC All Access mm-hmm. things and it sounds like they were being pretty vague about it, but it sounds like they may put Swamp Thing on a bit of a hiatus whenever Charles Soule leaves.
That's going to be sad. Yeah, you got a lot of people to come in just mm-hmm. for Swamp Thing.
It's a great book.
Yeah.
Charles
Soule. I thought he did a good job. I thought the transition between him and Scott Snyder was really good. It wasn't really noticed. I really didn't notice.
No. The only thing that you notice is that it was less, maybe, like, dark and dreary, but that makes sense.
Both of those books, really. I think Animal Man was like the darkest.
Oh, Animal Man was like,
with blood
depressing,
and all sorts of stuff all over.
It was a great book. I loved Animal Man.
Really good stories. What's next on your list?
Next, Future's End. An interesting book, Cully Hamner art, but it didn't really look like Cully Hamner art. I know that probably doesn't make any sense, but
was that the
it was
the Green Arrow?
Yeah, where they're basically talking about World's End, how they came over with Red Arrow, which is very interesting. I like the Red Arrow.
Filled a lot of gaps.
Yeah,
yeah,
and the Big Barda. So it was good.
I had one problem with it, and I don't know who reads Earth 2 here. Does anybody read Earth 2?
No.
Who is this Red Arrow?
Mm-hmm.
He's Green Arrow's doppelganger.
Well, there was a Red Arrow.
Or is he the Arsenal doppelganger?
He seemed more like the Green Arrow's doppelganger.
Well, there was a Red Arrow in Earth 2, which that's what's confusing then. He was killed. It was Connor Hawk.
Okay.
I remember him from...
Yeah, that was his son, right?
Yeah.
Green Arrow's son.
Yeah.
And this one seemed a lot younger than the one, the Green Arrow. Yeah. So if it is like an Oliver Queen from Earth 2...
In this book, Oliver Queen from Earth Prime says that that was his doppelganger from Earth 2.
Okay.
Okay, so I took that.
So it is too. Oliver Queen.
From so maybe yeah, it's yeah, like yeah. it's him, but that was maybe his son or something. He was killed. I don't know. But in Earth 2, it's kind of brutal, actually. Dr. Fate, when he like fought
mm-hmm.
him, but Dr. Fate's kind of like he's afraid of everything. He's not really that good of a superhero, but like he tries to fight something. And I think one of the characters, I don't know if it was Superman or what, like beat him up so bad that he kind of his mind's not right anymore, and he keeps prophesizing in just like short bursts. So he just keeps saying things, and at one thing he says something about like Red Arrow. And he says that, you know, that basically he prophesied that Red Arrow was going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as he did that, like, Red Arrow gets his neck snapped. Like, right in the, like, few panels later, he's killed. And that's what none of these characters survive. I'm a little curious about this, with Future's End, what's going to happen with Thomas Wayne. Like, where is he?
Yeah, I think World's End... I mean, I think that focuses on the war that took place on Earth 2. So everything that's happening in Future's End takes place after World's End, I believe.
So do we, here's the thing. Do we think that he crossed? That he's in Earth 1?
Mm-mm.
I wouldn't think. Wouldn't that make the story Batman kind of not really make any difference that there's a Batman if his parent or one of his parents is still alive?
It's not his parent.
Yeah, it's not his parent.
He's just avenging half a parent.
No.
He's not going to be as tough this time.
Mom! Not Mom! Dad's back. Why did you bring her with you? She's the Joker.
She's the Joker. Yeah. That was one of the coolest parts of Flashpoint.
Yeah.
Didn't really go over it in the movie. I don't know if you saw the movie, mm-mm. but they had it just enough that you were just like, but it was so big in the comic that everybody here, when you guys, well, I don't think any of you were in the podcast at that time, but everybody already prophesized it. They knew it was her, remember?
Yeah.
They were just like, yeah, we knew it was going to be her.
No, just one person did. But I thought this was real good, basically recapping the war and stuff, but not totally.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, teasing it a little bit because...
it's World's End. World's End.
Right, World's End starts next week, so...
Yeah, another weekly book I gotta buy.
Yes.
I don't know if I'm gonna buy World's End.
Yeah, it's crazy talk.
Just because I'm not reading Earth 2, and if World's End takes place before this...
Did they show what happened to Red Robin?
And of course you want to buy it.
You want to buy everything here.
Yes.
I'm leaving.
You want to buy everything here.
I will not be silenced.
I'm gonna buy...
The stuff with Red Robin and the Teen Titans when he's fighting the war.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when Lois confronts him and says, didn't he have like one of his staff or something through his leg, and that's why he had like a limp?
Yeah, an arrow or something.
Yeah.
What happened exactly between that? Because like
we don't know.
They show well.
No, they
kind of
show it.
Yeah, whenever he jumped on the rooftop, he kind of like,
so that happened
yeah,
here
a little bit. Yeah, and he's like knee.
Okay. So
but they didn't show Wonder Girl's brains all over.
No.
Him.
No. You didn't even see, like, her head exploded or anything. She was
not yet. That's what World's End's for, see? You need to get World's End so you see that.
No, World's
End. No, World's End's supposed to be on Earth, too.
This battle
this is, Earth
is at World's End.
Yeah, that's the World's End.
This battle took place
this
in
is like,
I thought World's End was the war between the two worlds.
No, it wasn't
no,
really a war
it's,
between
it's,
them.
Oh, okay.
It's basically the end of Earth 2.
I don't think you really read
so
this book, Colin.
I read this book where this was them trying to come to Earth.
Basically, this is the end of World's End.
Okay.
We got a preview of it before
the
it
war
happened.
That happened on Earth Prime was only like 3 days.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is, well, basically this here
was the whole war.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it.
The World's End is going to show like the entire apocalypse
well, then,
assault on Earth.
Okay, because it sounded like there was
more
because when did Pittsburgh get destroyed and, you know, that Firestorm got upset about. And...
No, because they talked like in the, which book was
they're
it?
Not
the Superman book that was this week, the one where it's Shazam, and he's talking about it. He talks about what Superman did. He had been fighting for days.
He said, like, 72 hours straight.
Right, but that's a battle. That's not a war.
No, he said it was the whole war.
No, that can't
be.
Yeah,
they said the whole war was only a few days, but it was massive destruction.
That doesn't sound right.
I'm telling you, it was...
A bunch of superheroes fighting parademons. That probably took about that long.
It took longer than that, though, on the first arc of Justice League.
Yeah, that's true. Well, no, that didn't take that long, either. Oh, it was a few. That was only like a couple days.
Right. So if that was a couple days, this is the whole war. That's not going to be a couple days. Because it was the whole, you
know. They had more players involved.
I'm not saying it makes sense, but they've said in I think, two different books that this whole war that happened on Earth Prime was only a few days.
I'll go back and reread Superman. Because that was the one where I know they were talking about it. And there may have been another book, but.
That was a.
It's pretty bad. A ball right in the middle of the.
That was a. That was a pretty... That Superman Futures End book, it was okay. Like, it wasn't... Like,
no, it wasn't great, but it was...
It at least told us a little bit about Shazam, but at the end when he's just like, you're right, I shouldn't do this. I was just like, okay.
It was a little cheesy.
Do we really need a book for that?
Is Shazam getting his own book?
I wish. Maybe after. I don't understand why. I mean, you know, I don't think they have 52 books now. Give him a book.
Well, they got rid of All-Star Western, so...
I'm surprised. He had all those backups in Justice League. Why they didn't spit him into a book?
Yeah.
That did seem really odd. Maybe Jeff... I mean, Jeff Johns was the one writing. Maybe that's who they're wanting to write it, and he's just writing so much right now.
Why? I heard something he's not allowed to write more than two books at a time right now.
I thought that was the same with Bendis. It was Marvel.
If only.
Your own punishment, you're only allowed to write two books.
Yeah. But, you know, Future's End, I really think just, like, not too long ago it took off.
Yeah.
Like, I think it was really hurting. And then finally it's just like, wow, this is getting interesting.
Well, you say it's, what, a 19-issue trade.
Yeah.
It probably started, like, issue 16 or 17. It really did start to pick up.
Well, I think this issue that Colin was just talking about was the last issue was... I think it really filled in a lot of gaps.
Yeah.
At least with the Earth 2 stuff. What we don't have filled in yet is, like, some of the Brainiac stuff.
Yeah.
They mentioned something in at the end of Doom, Superman Doomed, where it was just, like, to be continued and, like, maybe it didn't say, like, to be continued or something, but it said, like, Future's End or something like that. It was, like, soliciting Future's End because he is one of the antagonists. Is Brainiac.
Okay, yeah.
So maybe something is, like, that's why they're trying to tie it together somehow. So.
Okay.
Because it would be, what, the third time we've seen Brainiac in New 52?
Okay.
So, who knows what he's up to. That guy. He's out of control. Brainiac. Brainiac's all over the place in that, though.
Yeah.
He really is. He's in, like, space across there. I think he's the thing controlling the robot. I think that has something to do with it.
Well, I'm sure once he uploads himself to the computer, he can be everywhere.
I think that's what this is leading to. Yeah. I don't think it's
he
mainly...
He is Brother Eye.
Yeah, you I think right, he Pat. Assimilated Brother
Eye. It was a few weeks, okay. A couple weeks. It still wasn't that long, but it was more than a few days.
But no, I think it's really picked up. I do.
Well, two of us have told me he's right. Who's next?
Who, Pat?
Yeah. He said he was right earlier. Okay. I just had to tell him he was right.
Next book I read was Roach Limit. Which is an image book. Really interesting.
I heard it was really good.
Yeah, it takes place on this, I guess, like a space station type thing. This guy created this like floating city. I think it said it was about the size of India.
That's not moon.
What? Floating out. And on it, they're like, it was supposed to be this great utopia. Instead, it's turning into, you know, like a cesspool. And somebody's kidnapping these girls. And the sister of one who was earthbound was a cop and sold all her stuff to go up and look for her. And she's going around bar to bar showing you know, the picture, and this guy kind of takes her under, you know, is going to help her because same thing kind of happened to his brother, even though this guy's not really a good guy. He kind of knows his way around. And it turns out these girls that they're kidnapping, they're using for this. They put them in a spacesuit and send them out into this one thing, and presumably they die trying to do something. You don't know what's going on. But it was good. It was basically like an outer space, you know...
Detective story.
But yeah, it was good. It was good. It's not a whole lot about that.
The logistics of building something the size of India have to be pretty...
Yeah.
Don't they have another book like that? The Fuse?
Yeah, The Fuse. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I read the first issue. That was it.
That's as far as I made it in that one, too. And then the next one, The New Avengers, Time Runs Out. This one I found very interesting. Basically, Namor...
Are you talking about a Marvel book?
A Marvel book, yes.
Oh, my God.
Namor did 2DC and Image and a Marvel.
Something special's happening.
Yeah, what's happening?
But I guess recently in New Avengers, Namor just kind of... They were hemming and hawing over blowing up this world that was going to have an incursion with Earth. And he just kind of goes...
They're still working? They're still going on that?
Uh-huh. So he just took it into his hands and blew up this other Earth. He's like, why was this even a question? It's us versus them. Our survival's most important. He realizes that the Illuminati and that group isn't going to help him anymore, and he makes his own group with Thanos and Corvus Glaive and Proxima Black or whatever, and Terax... And basically, this is 8 months later, they've basically taken over the Earth, killing everybody.
Are they like the New World Order?
Right.
Are they the Wolf Pack? Or are they...
Yes.
Didn't he also side with Thanos during Infinity? Like, behind the scenes?
I don't remember.
I don't remember that.
But...
I can see that happening.
This one starts with him going to Doom for help.
He had to deal with one of Thanos' generals back in Infinity.
Whoa, they put Doom in a book?
Yep. And Doom kind of just blew him off, going, you know, he's already lost. He's desperate. He's coming to us. You know, forget him. So, yeah, it's kind of interesting. And it doesn't at all jive with the Avengers book, but we'll see where this goes. Huh. But it was interesting.
Okay, now something. You're talking about Marvel books, so something was wrong. Were their eyes crooked?
Grand Slam. Not good. Not good.
Wow.
So
4-0 Giants.
That's all I got.
He said all positive things.
See, you talked about a Marvel book, and the Giants scored 4 runs.
Yeah, that was bad. That was bad. Okay, I'm done.
Pat! Adam! Go.
Oh, okay. Sinestro. Anybody else read that?
Mm-mm. I will be soon, though.
Coleman just said it was awful.
Well, spoilers. No, it...
Not meant for the crossover.
Oh, okay. So 5 years in the future, the Yellow Lantern Corps is basically decimated. And
again?
Yeah, I'm going to say, they don't really stay together.
No.
Are they really put together?
I'd be afraid to join that corps.
Did he ever put them together?
Well, isn't that kind of the whole point? And, you know, Sinestro finally realizes he just needs to take on a different ring, so he is now in charge of the Black.
Oh.
Which, that makes me think back to the Green Lantern one.
Yeah.
Was Sinestro really in charge of the Black Lanterns the whole time? Like, just timeline-wise, does this take place after the Green Lantern, or does this take place before the Green Lantern?
Yeah. And or... was it just bad communication between writers, just like the Batman?
No.
I could see, though, with the way the Green Lantern book ended up, there being a void there within the Black Corps.
Like, Batman needed a back brace, but then he didn't need it later on in the Detective Comics issue.
I really hope that they
didn't
do
have
not...
one in the other issue, but Alfred still had the beard. He was still sporting that beard.
I hope that the Batman Endgame, because Scott Snyder's saying it's starting to set up with things you saw in... like the Futures End stuff. I hope it doesn't go down that route of him.
Are the covers of Endgame, are they all going to be those bats? Mm-hmm. Like the bats?
Those are fake covers.
That's what I thought.
Yeah,
they had one in previews that was like blue.
Yeah, I read an interview or listened to an interview.
Yeah, it says so secret,
it was all
we can tell you
covers.
Is the name.
It's got to be, like, one of these has to be his ending to this Joker story. Because according to what Scott Snyder said, that Joker story was a two-part.
It's only a six-issue arc. So
he still has time.
He and Capullo are in the book until, like, 50-something, so...
That's weird that he's leaving
that book. Well, they're contracted through 50-something.
I know, it seems weird.
It could go longer.
So long. Yeah. It's like they become a part of the name.
Yeah.
Red Lanterns.
Red Lanterns, that was awesome.
I like that. I don't like the idea that they got rid of the Red Lanterns, because I really like that.
But he's angry anymore.
But they said if Charles Soule isn't ready, they don't want to be around anymore.
Yeah, I could see that.
They're playing a war with Marvel.
But, you know, Blee's being returned back, getting her wings back, and, mm-hmm. and you know, her and Rancor ended up together. I think that made sense.
I like the interaction between Blee's and Gardner.
Yeah.
It was good. I like Gardner as a Blue Lantern.
The question is, where is Dexter? That's the important question.
That's true, because...
they mentioned him briefly, I think, in the book, but...
Yeah,
he's the most important character in the Red Lantern.
I'm not going to argue against that, actually.
No. I wouldn't allow it.
He's probably ready.
I liked how Rancor had all the rings around him, like chainmail armor. That was pretty cool. And then, you know, Blee's did that, too,
with all the
skeletal wings. That was pretty cool. And then Gardner still had all the rings, like, around a chain around his neck.
The only thing I didn't like is that he showed he had all the rings on a chain around his neck, and he had a blue ring there, plus the blue ring on his hand. I'm like, why do you have two blue rings? Like, he said, I tried out all the rings, and blue was the one that worked out best. I'm like, so you have two?
Well, remember, because she had asked, well, how's the blue one working? Because I thought there had to be a green around for it to work. And that's when he took it out. He said, because
no,
I got all
what
of them.
I'm saying is he has the blue on his necklace and a blue ring on his hand.
He wants to have two rings.
It was the artist wanted to show all the rings on the necklace.
It screws up the rainbow for his necklace.
Yeah, it's Roy G. Biv, not Roy G. Iv.
Yeah. And that's the title of today's podcast.
Roy G. Iv?
Roy G. Iv. That's a new character. Pat just created a Gorilla Bob.
There you go.
Later podcasts, we would just be like Roy G. Iv says. When he's playing cards with Gorilla Bob. And Bobby Hitler.
Could play Sky with him. With Roy G. Iv.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, no, he's DC.
Crossover. Nice. Amalgam Universe.
Harley Quinn.
Read that.
I didn't like that.
It wasn't bad, but at the end of the book, I'm sitting there thinking, did this really happen? Or was it some sort of, like, hallucination? Because it just...
Well, but it did really happen because he talks about her teaming up with becoming a dynamic duo, but it's actually
like,
with...
Was it in her head?
I don't think... Well, that's what the Joker says, but it's...
It's just funny, because whenever you dynamic duo is only used with Batman and Robin.
Yeah. Well, it's actually Harley and Power Girl.
Yeah.
But they do reference him having his face cut off.
They reference it, but the artist drew it like his face was perfectly on there with a little tiny scar around the perimeter's face.
You can't attach, like, I don't even know how they're going to do that.
Even if you could,
like,
attach it, it's so his face was floating now. Around in the sewer and now being worn by
the
Joker's psycho.
How do you do that? Like, isn't it, like, dried out leather by now? Like,
you would think.
There's no moisture to it at all. They can't bring that back to life. Well, like, if you took a leather jacket and tried to make a cow out of it again. Like,
maybe a transplant. Like that Nicolas Cage.
That's what I was thinking. Face off.
It was a weird movie.
Maybe that's why they took Nicolas Cage's face, painted it white, and slapped it on the Joker.
He could be Superman, so he might as well be somebody.
Yeah. But it just... I really didn't like it as much as I thought.
I didn't mind it. I just... If it really did happen, it was very far-fetched. Which, I mean, it's a Harley Quinn book, so...
Yeah.
That's what all these really seemed like. Like, they seemed like very generic one-shots. Like, only a handful of them were really that well done. That I was like, oh, this seems interesting. Like with Future's End, I keep thinking to myself, it's intriguing because it's, like, giving us a glimpse of what
could happen.
Most of these books weren't written by the normal...
Yeah.
Yeah, they were, like... Yeah.
Someone else
they were tryouts.
But, well, like, what's funny, I think it was Ray Fox. Isn't that his name, Ray Fox?
Yeah, Fox, yeah.
He... is part of that Bat team. And, like, these weren't very good. I think they were all written by him, weren't they?
I'm not a huge fan of his, though.
I'm not either. I wasn't huge on when he took over for Batgirl for Gail Simone's small hiatus.
Those two issues, yeah. And he was writing, or he's maybe still writing Justice League Dark after Lemire.
That's okay.
Left.
Yeah, that's okay. But I think since Blight, I think that book is really just kind of...
It's just got to turn on Blight.
It's not necessarily flatlined, but it's got to, you know.
And then he's writing a little bit. Gotham by Midnight or at Midnight. I think he's writing it and Temple Smith's drawing it.
Yeah, that's right.
So I'm interested for the book, but with him writing, I'm not sure.
Just to see, yeah. I mean, sometimes I guess he could take off. There was something else he was writing, I don't remember, that I didn't mind.
Like, Tinian is also on the Bat books, and he, I thought, was shaky at first, too, but he's, I think, gotten better.
He was shaky on,
Talon?
Talon, yeah. I forgot what it was called. I was going to call it Court of Owls, but it was Talon, and that didn't last.
That was, that went 16
I thought that was a bad idea. I really did.
Actually, I thought that was a good idea.
I didn't, because what happens is you have a mysterious characters called the Talons, which they haven't really totally broke into. You could have still at least used them. Now I think they've taken the mystery out of them.
Because it was a bad idea because
they're all out in the open.
They didn't establish any of them being, like, kind of different from the rest.
Yeah.
Now they have, like, Strix, who's one of the ones who's not... She's been with...
Birds of Prey.
Yeah, Birds of Prey.
Yeah.
And I think she's going to be in...
She had an interesting origin story, which I will give them that.
And she's going to be in Secret Six as well. So I think, like, her already being established could... You know, maybe not have her own book, but be a more, you know, prominent figure in a book.
Yeah.
Whereas the Talon book, it just kind of out of nowhere, like these drone bad guys and suddenly has his own book.
And he was also part of Haley Circus, and I was just like, it seems like it seems all right of an idea, but I think they took, like, a lot of the mystery out of the Court of Owls. They overused them too quick. And I think they should have used them slower. Because then you can get more out of them throughout the years. Now, if they put them in a Batman story, would you really care? Like, I'd be like, okay, it's a Court of Owls. We already know. There's a bunch of them. Everybody knows they exist now. Villains know them. Yeah. But, like, they're not in the shadows anymore. Like, they were part of the whole villain thing. They're in prison. Like, they have them under ice, but that was part of the Batman story. But they're not secret anymore. So it doesn't... It doesn't seem intriguing. I think that's why they haven't really used them that much, because they kind of fell. In the Batman story, they were brand new. You know, there was one of them, but they were hidden. You know, and I like the Scott Snyder ended that story where they're all around that table and they make it seem like they all committed suicide, like a cult or something. But it turned out it was Owlman who poisoned them. And but that was them. That was it. They got rid of that branch, and then it's just like there's more out there. And I think they gave it away too much.
Yeah,
real quick. So yeah, I don't think that book took off very well. But I don't know. A lot of these, I think a lot of people were confused about the Justice League stuff. I think.
The Justice
League. I know a lot of people, including myself.
Had nothing to do with what they were reading.
Well, I had no idea it was a to be continued because I accidentally read Justice League on United. I started reading it. I was like, this seems interesting. Like the stuff with Captain Atom and stuff like that, where he's basically Dr.
Manhattan. Yeah.
And which he is, but I think we talked about that before last week. But
how is it confusing? It clearly says one shot in the car. Oh.
Yeah, they both say one shot.
Yeah.
And then I went back at another one.
Well, Aquaman like, did the same thing.
Yeah, Aquaman, and I never... I don't know if I got
Aquaman,
it.
Aquaman, Justice League, and there's one...
Wonder Woman.
Yeah, Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman continued in Batman also, Wonder Woman. Or Superman Wonder Woman.
Did Batman... Did anybody read Batman Superman?
No.
I haven't got to read it yet either. That's been a good book.
I heard it kind of ties in with the spine thing.
Oh, it does? Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Well, something has to. That was kind of out of nowhere.
Did anybody read The Flash?
Mm-hmm.
That, I thought, did a good job of tying into what was currently going on. Because
The Flash's current arc has been in the future already, so it didn't feel like one of these books. It just felt like a next issue of Flash.
Yeah. You know, now we see Wally West gets power and...
Yeah, 5 years down the road, he gets powers, and then who knows what's going to happen with Barry.
Well, Barry dies 5 years in the future, but somehow he's back in the past.
Well, because Barry from 30 years, or whatever it was in the future, or however far it was in the future, the blueberry...
Yeah. Blueberry...
We're talking about fruits now. What's going on?
What books are you reading?
You sell them to us.
California Ravens.
I don't write them, man.
Anyways, the Blue Flash kind of kills the Red Flash 5 years in the future and then ends up back Strawberry. In the present day with powered Wally West Flash. Against him. So I don't know.
There's
if no somehow
there's
it's going to the death of...
Snozzberries.
It tastes like snozzberry. If it's going to prevent... I'm completely derailed now. I can't talk about this. No, but you know, I don't know if now, because they're in the present day, if somehow Wally being there is going to, you know, warn Flash so he doesn't end up getting killed 5 years in the future. It's
well, but that's the part I don't get. So present day Barry went into the future to save Iris and Wally, but he didn't make it. He did, but he didn't make it in time.
Oh.
And Blue Flash. Blueberry.
No, he didn't go into the future. That was on present day. That was five years
in the future.
But
5 years in
the
future Flash.
Right.
Here's the thing. Why didn't Hermione go back and kill Voldemort with the time thing? Oh, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about another time.
Present day Flash never went into the future. It's future Flash that's been going back in
Colin,
time.
Colin, are you writing all this down?
No. But, okay, but the Flash from 5 years in the future, that Barry.
Like a flowchart.
died.
Yeah.
Blue Flash went back. So you have Red Flash, Blue Flash, and Wally Flash.
Red and Blueberry.
Blue Flash, One Flash, Two Flash.
They're not selling me on Flash,
I would
Colin.
Not eat them in a boat. I would
See,
not eat them
Muppets,
with a goat.
We have Dr. Seuss now.
And Snozzberries.
We had Willy Wonka.
You're not selling me on Flash here, guys.
I think
Colin, all your numbers of Flash just went down to zero.
Look, it's like it's confusing, but it was a good issue.
There are the negatives people were throwing away. They're taking away from the
time
show.
Travel's broken. Leave us alone.
They're not even supposed to be traveling through time.
They pulled a Marvel. They broke time. Well, and actually, they say that they've been breaking time the whole time.
Yeah, he's trying to get back and repair it.
Blueberry learn already that he's not supposed to go back in time?
He's
that's what Flashpoint happened.
That's
he's
what going he's... back to fix it and killed himself in the process.
Yeah.
At Flashpoint, you mean?
No.
That is what he did at Flashpoint. He went back in time. He went through the time stream and, like, stopped
himself from
did he
saving
kill that
his
one?
Mom.
Yeah.
Did he, like, throw him out of the Speed Force?
He, like, ran him off the road.
He was just like, go out there. And he, like, He's floating around the Speed Force. He's somewhere in Grant Morrison's map over there for Multiversity. There's a spot on there. It says Flash.
A little tiny dot.
Other Flash.
Pre-New 52.
Pre-New 52 Flash. He's somewhere floating outside of the Speed Force.
He's at the Springfield Mystery Spot.
That's it. They had an interesting article about that, the map I think it was Bleeding Cool posted it, that was talking about, like, looking at the map and what they can do to create, like, such a good structure to the DC Universe, just because they created this map that kind of explains. Where I don't, you, right now, you don't have that with, like, you, I don't think you could have that with Marvel, because Marvel's not that complex with their multiverse. Actually, Marvel doesn't do that much with their multiverse. They don't tie it together like DC does.
And
like
Marvel
crises and stuff like that.
Marvel states that it's a lot more than DC.
Yeah. So that map, though, has created like a structure where they can actually write stories and actually write lots of stories from this multiversity thing. So just basically kind of how they did before.
Yeah.
You know, before, you know, and not just necessarily Elseworld stories, but they could start creating books on characters from other Earths or and all sorts of stuff like that. But it also, you know, it's developed kind of a structure. So I thought that was kind of an interesting article. I think it was Bleeding Cool that had that. But I was saying that too. Like that map, it had so much to it. Like I was going through just trying to figure out what Earths were what. Like there was the gender swap Earth, and like Earth 5 is still Shazam, which is also Earth S.
Okay.
The one with the cartoon eyes, obviously, is
that's the next one, right? The Shazam.
Captain Carrot.
The next one.
No, the next one is
the Teen Idols.
Yeah, it's the tabloid mag, and then the next one, I think, is
Shazam.
Okay.
How many are there, Colin?
That's what, Thunderworld or something like that?
Multiversity. I think that's
8 or 9.
Yeah. Which has been good. It's still confusing, but it's interesting. It's keeping
it's
my
a good confusing.
How did you didn't get to talk about that? You like that book?
Oh, I liked it.
You weren't here with that.
Yeah.
Talk.
No, I liked it. And then if you go on to Bleeding Cool, they did kind of an annotated reading of it, and it makes even more sense.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff I didn't put together.
So one thing we were talking about on the podcast last week, which I wasn't sure about, and I thought maybe you could clarify that. Was he Vandal Savage from another Earth?
The one was Vandal Savage. The other one, I think, was Anthro.
Is that basically Vandal
basically
Savage?
Similar, but yeah, I don't think it's the very exact same person, but yeah, I think it's Anthro, who is the immortal man, Vandal Savage.
But he's
was
created
just
basically
else.
The same way.
Yeah.
From a meteorite.
Yeah.
Which is really cool at the end of that, because when he ties together, like, I have this one, and they're both different colors.
The
like
yellow
one's
and the red one.
Yeah, yellow, red. And he made his into a spear, and I think he just had his just to smack people.
Savage,
he wasn't, like, Vandal Savage wasn't very creative. He could have made throwing stars or something, but whatever, you know.
Rock smash.
Can't be all creative like Anthro.
Just club you with it.
But no, that's been really good.
Yeah, no. And one of those, does it make perfect sense? No, but I bet it will in the end, and it'll especially probably be really good if you read it all at once.
Yeah. And they mentioned...
So, wait for the trade.
Not necessarily, because in something like this, it's reading the parts is fun in itself.
Okay.
Whereas if you can just turn the page for the next one, there's a lot of books that I find where the wait is part of the fun. Even if it's just a week,
it's like
even like
watching TV, it loses something.
It does. Because
So buy it in both formats.
Yeah, I heartily endorse that. But things like Day Tripper was a neat book because it was a book where basically the character died at the end of every issue. And when you can just sit there in the trade and read it and turn the next page and get the
and
next
see
story.
What happened.
Where when you had to wait going, what the... Especially after the first one, you're like, what the heck?
It took me a while to figure
out. Yeah, and then you're reading the second one. It's like the first one, he's 35. The second one, he's 10. The next one, he's in his 40s. And then, like, one thing I didn't put together, that this one girl that he met and died, and then the next issue, he was with this woman that he was married, I didn't put together that it was the same woman.
Okay.
And, he went chasing after when he saw the girl of his dreams, you know, that he just, you know, made eye contact with in the coffee shop, and then he runs into the street to catch her and gets hit by a bus. Well, the next one, he's arguing with this woman and getting thrown out of the apartment. You don't realize it's the same woman. You do in the trade. But reading
but
the comics, I didn't put that together right away.
Gotcha.
So, I don't know, some books that month-long wait, what in the heck, where is this next one going? Even like The Wake was kind of like that, where it was just, where is this going? And when you can just turn the page, I think it does lose something.
Is Multiversity bi-weekly?
No.
It feels like
it's monthly.
It's monthly.
Is it monthly?
Yeah.
I don't know why that last issue felt like it came out real quick.
Mm-mm.
Edge of Spider-Verse.
I haven't read it.
I didn't read that one. I don't know why.
I won't spoil it. It was a very different Spider-Man. It wasn't an Iron Man Spider-Man, though.
Okay. It looked like it. I didn't think it really was, but it did. It looked like the Iron Man suit.
The guy that's Spider-Man in that universe, actually, he's not Doc Ock, but he looks a lot like a...
He looks like if Doc Ock and Peter Parker had a child together.
Ew!
That is what
nature,
the result would
is that this why is you're gross. Talking about nature finds a way?
Yeah. You're going to have to leave again. Like, aww. First he disses Batman.
I know.
What was it even said? I don't even want to think about it anymore.
I didn't diss Batman. I used Batman as an example.
But it was involved with Batman. S.H.I.E.L.D., wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's not like I said it's how Sky does things. It was May.
You're not allowed to use Batman and Sky in the same sentence.
It was May.
Yeah.
Close enough.
Jeez.
Okay.
You better rein this in, Colin.
I am, because, man, we've already been going an hour and 40 minutes. I don't think we're getting to previews.
Okay. Letter 44.
I kind of figured.
No one else read letter 44.
No, I read the first few. Not that it was bad, it just...
You got enough to read.
It's another Charles Soule book, and it's really good. At this point, they finally realize that the aliens, like, now they're trying to communicate with them. There's been a couple attacks, basically, and what they realize is because they're being aggressive to the aliens, that's kind of what the problem is. So they figured out a way to communicate with them
okay.
to try to say, hey, this is just a misunderstanding. And it looks like the president, the one, number 44, is about to get impeached.
Oh, okay. But he didn't do anything. Well.
No, but he's taking credit for things had happened. He started the Blades Brigades, which were, they used the advanced technology to try to end the war in Afghanistan quickly. Well, a guy hooked up a nuclear bomb to a donkey and took care of them pretty quickly.
That's something.
So, yeah.
Did you just say to a donkey?
Yeah, to a donkey. That's okay. What they have. And then He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, which I know I'm probably the only one here that reads. It's a continuation of...
It sells well. But
and you needed it that day because somebody came in and they were just like, what do you know about He-Man?
Yeah.
And Pat's here.
Go.
We had to get him outside.
Yeah.
Wasn't that when we were doing the anniversary stuff?
Yeah, it was the anniversary show, somebody asked. Because I guess his daughter's into She-Ra, and that's what this is. The arc that they're doing now is the origin of She-Ra. At the end of the last issue, she slit Adam's throat because the sword that she's holding is cursed, and it basically forced her to do it. And in this issue, she talks to the sorceress, who's actually Teela, is telling her, yeah, I knew that was going to happen, but if you go get this other power sword, you're going to be able to save him. And
poor Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah. Slice his throat twice.
Yeah, but his career, that's enough. Is that what you were talking about, poor Dolph Lundgren? Punisher with a resume like Punisher or He-Man.
He came back with the
Expendables. And don't forget Rocky IV.
Okay, we'll give him that.
He was Ivan Drago.
I don't think he was the one that really carried the movie. He was there, though.
Yeah.
You remember when the guy came in and asked about He-Man? It's just kind of funny that he said, I think it was this guy, that he said his, like, daughter or something was dressing up as She-Ra for Halloween.
Yeah. And it's a little girl, and I'm thinking, that's going to be missed by a lot of people. Like, adults might say, oh, it's She-Ra, but
that's right.
Kids are going to be like, who is
that? But I guess the one kid that matters is the one dressed as She-Ra.
I guess.
That's enough. But yeah, you're right. Nobody else is going
to
know.
It's definitely an original idea. No one else is going to go to the Halloween party dressed as She-Ra and like, oh, man. Like, there's probably going to be 15 Captain Americas at that party, but only one She-Ra.
Well, the sad thing is, it's unique, but everyone else that sees it will think it's just generic.
Yeah.
Like, just a generic,
Somebody will know.
Yeah,
apparently.
People like Pat.
Yeah.
Pat would be like, that's She-Ra.
Awesome. I don't think I'm going to be checking out little girls at costume parties.
Whoa.
Nobody said anything about that, man.
Well, no, because you're like...
I'm going to take it a bad direction.
Well, no, because the way you're like, oh, well, Pat would notice that. Like,
you were just observant that was She-Ra. That was all you were saying.
No. Anyway, that's all I read. So, someone else. Dave?
Dave.
Me.
You can't do my Beaker impression.
David, talk up. Louder.
Outcast number four. MB Reed, Outcast number four.
No.
No, but it's by, I've got
by,
it.
By Robert Kirkman.
I got that in today's
story. Yeah, in this issue, this detective comes to Cal, who's the...
He's the guy.
He's the guy. He's the main guy. I'm not exactly sure what he does yet, I guess. But his ex-partner is in prison and possessed. He believes he's possessed by demons or something, and he wants Cal to go to prison and talk with him.
Well, he kind of draws them out, doesn't he? It's more than that, demons are kind of like attracted to him or something.
Yeah. But it hasn't been as scary since the first issue. It's a very slow burn.
Well, whenever you involve a kid who's like possessed like that, it's kind of terrifying.
Yeah.
And then didn't he what do you do? He headbutted her or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a slow burn, but I'm not.
Oh, yeah, he was eating his hand.
Kids are always a surefire way to, like, up
creep people
factor.
Out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, when
kids
the kid's sitting there and he's like, wasn't that what he was doing? He was eating his hand.
Yeah.
And he was sitting at the pantry, and she was like, what are you eating? And he, like, turns around, and that's what he's eating.
Fingers.
Yeah, his fingers.
Finger sandwiches.
Wow. Yeah, it's an interesting book.
It's a slow burn, but that's not negative, because it's very, there's this creepy undertone to the whole issue, and the art by Paul Azaceta, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. And, interesting to see where it goes.
I think he's taking on a little much. I think that's really, because, like, Walking Dead is really, like, it's been boring. And I don't really know what they're going to do about that, so. I was hoping when he did take on, what else is he still doing? Invincible.
Mm-hmm.
And then Invincible. He has another something.
Another something?
No, I think that's
it. Is that it?
Yeah.
I think that's it. You should do Wolfman.
Yeah.
That's been a long time.
That was a long time ago.
That was a long time ago.
He doesn't do that super dinosaur, does he?
No, that kind of floundered and stalled.
That wasn't his?
That was his.
That was his?
Yeah.
And Tech Jacket's someone else, right?
I think so, yeah.
Someone else is writing that, yeah.
Yeah, but then he has the TV show he's working on, too, which I don't know how much he is doing.
Well, and then they've got the second TV show that they're... Yeah, I mean, he's probably stretched pretty thin.
Yeah, and I think it's starting the show, because I think it's hurting the book. I don't know. Like, the book has not been the same. It's been dragging and just boring, you know? But, I mean, it's supposed to be about the people, but you got to mix some things in there. You know, you got to give us something besides a bunch of people talking. But
what's wrong with a bunch of people talking?
They're just all sitting around a table talking.
Might as well
talking.
Put a microphone in the middle of them, you know?
The Walking Dead podcast.
Bunch of zombies having a podcast.
Brains.
What else are you
doing? Okay, Dave.
Let Dave talk.
Grew.
I just told
you. I read Gru versus Conan, number three. Gru the Wanderer versus Conan the Barbarian. It's the big fight between Gru and Conan in this issue. Very entertaining, really funny, because they have that storyline, and they have like the quote unquote real world storyline that's following Sergio Aragonés. These guys have the most complicated names to pronounce, the creators.
If
Sergio,
Joe was here, if Joe Fellow was here,
Aragonés,
he'd be the one that called him.
Mark Evanier. I know how to pronounce his last name. And in this real-world storyline, Sergio is going, took all this medication or something, and he thinks he's Conan the Barbarian. So they're chasing him all around town.
Running around in his underwear.
And it's funny because they...
What you do when you're a barbarian?
It's hard to write humor, I think, and it made me laugh out loud because everybody keeps referring to Sergio as the guy who does the spy versus spy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, sometimes that's hard to do in a comic book, but like a comic book that'll make you laugh out loud, and you're just like, wow, that worked, you know?
Yeah.
I've come across some things like something. Maybe I don't know if it was something Spider-Man related that he said something. Oh, it was the. It wasn't even really that funny, but it was that Superior Spider-Man where they had the monkey Spider-Man, and he said, like, that's bananas or something.
Yeah.
I was just like, come on, seriously? But stuff like that. Yeah, it's really hard to do in comic books sometimes.
Another weird book, Secret Avengers, I read.
I'm a few issues behind on that.
Very odd. Very odd in the writing and the art, but I like it with this issue focused on MODOK, who is part of S.H.I.E.L.D. now, working with Marie Hill. Marie, it's kind of some flashbacks to MODOK and how he got into S.H.I.E.L.D. And Maria Hill thinks something's up with him.
Not MODOK.
I don't want to give away the ending.
It's fine. I'm three issues back. Go for it.
Because the last page is crazy because MODOK professes his love for Maria Hill.
It's one of those books, it's good, and I tend to buy it. Like, if I come in here on a non-Wednesday for something else, I'll grab an issue of that along with whatever else I'm buying. It's just...
I'm so surprised. I just like it's kind of the...
It seems that's why
like
Colin always invites you in on a Thursday.
You can come any day.
It seems like it's... Even though the characters are, you know, big Marvel Universe characters of Hawkeye and Black Widow and Spider-Woman, it feels kind of detached from the regular Marvel Universe.
I was surprised, like, that Maria Hill has made it this long in the books, because I remember, like, when I was in college reading... That's when Civil War came.
She was the big bad in Civil War.
She was the one nobody liked. Yeah. Like, everybody was just like, oh, you know, she's going down. Then Secret Invasion happened. Everybody was like, she's a Skrull. You know, she's involved. Well, she's the one who created everything that happened that she wasn't. And it's just like, she just kept going.
I know Bendis created her, but what was the first thing she was in?
Do you remember? Yes. Civil War, New Avengers... I think it was New Avengers.
New Avengers.
I remember basically she became Nick Fury. She was the director of S.H.I.E.L.D. for that time when he disappeared. It was somewhere in between.
No, that was when he was still white, missing an eye.
Yes. That was some of the time between Secret War and I think it was Secret War, whichever one was the Bendis one, where he was an LMD at the end of the book. Wolverine stabs him, and they're like, "Oh, it's an LMD." And then he disappeared till what, Secret Invasion?
Yeah.
Because that's what he knew. He knew something was happening. It was Secret Invasion, I guess. I don't know. They didn't do a very well job on that. Because they kept on making it like there was some huge secret. Like, there's something that's going to happen. Nick Fury knows about it, but he has to, like, hide. He has to be in the shadows. Nobody is allowed to know about him. And he disappeared, and then it was Secret Invasion, I guess. And but she was in there since then. Mm-hmm. I remember her. I don't remember her interacting with Nick Fury. I'm going to say it's New Avengers, but I could be wrong on that. I remember they were on the helicarrier, and it was that Zorn. Did you guys read that New Avengers when it started?
No.
They had this whole thing where they brought Zorn, and it was like it came out of House of M, where House of M. It was at the end of House of M, if you remember, Hank Pym is saying that, like, this energy, it can't just disappear. It has to go somewhere. Well, the energy splits off, and it turns into two things. I forget where one goes. The other one goes and hits this guy in Alaska who's a mutant, and he takes on all of these mutant powers, and they call him, I think he was called the Collective.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in Alaska, and he kills Alpha Flight. Like, that's how Alpha Flight died. And then he heads all the way down. Well, during this thing, it turns out in the end somehow it's Zorn. And I never really understand how it turned out to be Zorn. And they've really screwed up that character completely. Because when Grant Morrison was writing, and then they just basically retconned it and turned it into whatever they wanted. But she was there because that's when she questioned. That's the first time I remember her. Because she questioned. She's like, somehow M-Day came up. And she's like, what's M-Day? And that's why that's when Civil War started to happen, because they were just like, they're hiding stuff from us. Like, something happened, we don't know, and we're S.H.I.E.L.D., we're supposed to know everything.
Yeah.
So that's where she came, and that's the first I remember. I remember they had the Vision, but it was like the young Vision, and they were like using him as like a computer that they were getting all this information from and stuff. It was really weird, but nobody liked her. So I was. Yeah. I was really surprised she's lasted as long as she has to become a character in the movie. It's just really surprising, but it's your turn.
I don't have my list today, but the one thing Noah mentioned.
Why?
Calm down. You calm down.
Calm down over there, Colin.
Look, Colin read three books. He can judge four. Today.
I read more than that.
Jeez. Did any of you guys read Superman Doomed, number two?
No.
I hadn't read the rest. I'd read the first three parts and missed all the middle.
I read,
this, so I didn't totally understand what was going on. But
I read some of it, but I've read the whole thing besides finishing with this and then this one that came out today. Some things I didn't know what happened. Like, I don't know when Lois got the Fortress of Solitude. Like, well, I don't remember when that happened, but it's the delay. They had such a delay in between that book. Then in between it was the Supergirl book, which wasn't bad.
But it wasn't.
But it delayed the main story. So, like, I've lost track of what happened.
But at the very end of that issue, though, it almost looks like it ties in now with Future's End.
Yeah, that's what I was saying when he was talking about Future's End. Yeah, so I have a feeling that will, because
all these different, you know, universes are possible. Yeah.
So, I don't know. It was a good storyline.
It was good.
I mean, he doesn't like anything.
That's true.
No, it's DC. He'll like that.
Not necessarily if they have crooked eyes.
If you ask 9 out of 10 people, they'd say you don't like anything.
What?
If you ask 9 out of 10 people, they'd say you don't like anything.
And he doesn't idea of the book Monkey Business.
Six Gun Gorilla?
Yeah.
He likes gorillas. Like that.
So he'd like Monkey Business.
Not if it doesn't have Six Gun Gorilla. No.
We just give Grodd a couple guns.
Monkey be dead. They got crooked gorilla eyes.
He would have watched Shield today.
I like Guardians 3000. I like Thor.
You didn't like the art, though.
I'm not a huge fan of that.
Was it the eye?
No, it's the hyper, you know, unrealistic.
When you get...
I didn't check to see if they all had square fingers, but...
Well, when you got a cover that looked as nice as the cover looked.
Yeah.
The other cover being the
main one that they showed was the Alex Ross cover, so it's like, okay.
Give us something a little more realistic. Yeah.
Yeah, but it was...
It looked interesting. The idea looked interesting, what I was worried about.
Was that Martin X? Okay, sorry.
The idea
flashing back to old 70s Guardians.
Had a stroke. Anyway.
I liked something?
I
really hope I don't give off that vibe. That's not true.
No.
If I don't like anything.
Oh, now he's very self-conscious about it.
Yeah.
It's not a vibe. It's usually you standing at the counter saying, oh, I hated that. You know what really bothered me?
Ever.
Now he's going to go home and he's going to talk to Maggie and say,
Maggie, am I really like this?
And Maggie will go,
okay, wait. He does like Maggie, so he likes at least one thing.
But if Maggie was cross-eyed,
Did I just spend a lot of money on my son today? Yes. Did I spend a lot of money on my daughter today?
I thought you were going to say that I spent a lot of money on Maggie today.
That was Monday.
Bags of money.
That was the vet visit Monday.
He took the money from his kids. And he was like, give me your money.
Benadryl.
It's going to Maggie.
Give me that birthday money.
Maggie needs a diamond collar.
Well, her birthday is coming up.
Holy there you cow. Go.
Well, we have the same birthdays.
But you got that. Musical instrument today. She can't play.
No, she can't play that.
So you're going to have to trade.
Maybe she can. Have you tried?
Well, no, it hasn't come yet. I just bought it today.
Well, how do you know she can't?
He'll try.
It'd be hard for her to finger it.
She doesn't have fingers.
Right.
Well, that's why Adam couldn't play.
That is her doubt. That is the one thing she can do.
The dog can play the sax, but you couldn't?
Exactly. They wouldn't allow me. Dog has longer fingers or something. Oh, that Guardians, though, the only thing that worried me, and which I'm holding you to that, I tried getting it, because I don't have very many Marvel books, so I'm trying to read some Marvel.
Guardians 3000?
3000, yeah. I don't want it to cross over with anything. And that's what I hate when I pick up a Marvel book and it crosses over with something three issues in. When the most recent that's happened was Silver Surfer. It tied into Guardians of the Galaxy. I wasn't reading Guardians of the Galaxy.
Silver Surfer did it.
X-Men did Battle it. Of the Atom. All those X-Men books tied in. I wasn't reading all the X-Men books, and that book just started. Guardians of the Galaxy tied into X-Men with...
Amazing Spider-Man right away tied in with
Jean Grey. X-Men
with the Trial of Jean Grey. It's just like, let me try to read this book before you start doing a bunch of stuff like that.
At least get through the first arc before you...
Books. Exactly. Yeah. At least Superman before it crossed into all this Doom stuff lasted, 2 years before they started doing a lot of that. So give me a time to try the book, and let's get to know some of the characters before you do that.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing I'll give DC, even though some books have a lot of crossovers right now, for 2 years, there really wasn't any crossovers.
But they don't have huge events.
No.
especially
ones No, you had Forever Evil. That's the only event they've really had.
Yeah,
now, their events may drag on for a while. Like, Forever Evil lasts
about
a year,
they do their events better. Now, Marvel did better in this line than Original Sin than they have. Because it used to be that they would tie into everything. Iron Man and this and that and X-Men and, you know, I'm sure Howard the Duck, Rocket Raccoon would tie into something, you know. Everything just ties into so much.
DC will tie in a few core books and then create other standalone.
They have like family events. They have like Forever Evil. If you really look at it,
it was a Justice League event.
It's a Justice League event.
Yeah, like, I just got a
question. And then they created a couple other books to go along with it, but they didn't affect the books people were already reading.
Yes, it didn't affect that. And that's and Future's End. What is it affecting besides the entire month? But it just did that month.
Yeah,
that was it, and now it's back to normal.
But like, I just got a Twitter question from a customer saying, "Do Action and Justice League take place at the same time? Because in Action, you have Clark with a beard, where he doesn't have the beard in Justice League." And basically, I responded to him, "Well, you know, it's a Doomed aftermath book. Did Doom take place at the same time as Justice League? Not really. You know, it's a family story.
But
at no point did you see Doomsday Thor in Justice League. So.
He's Superman. He can grow a beard and shave it off as quickly as he wants.
Doomsday Thor.
Yeah, I mean, Doomsday Superman never took place in Justice League. So,
Amalgam Universe.
Yeah.
Oh, geez, they brought in Justin Wilson. There we go. They're losing.
But
by the time you listen to this, you already know the results.
You already know the results, but yeah. We're watching the Pirate Game, and yeah, it's not going well, as I'm sure you know. But just wait, guys, it turns around, so we'll see. Also, you know, now that I mentioned that, I did get a Twitter question. If you ever do have questions, not during the podcast is kind of tough to think.
We should answer questions.
But we can certainly take questions. You can send them to Twitter. It's at PGH Comics, because Pittsburgh Comics wouldn't fit.
I mean, they can tweet me between the times of, like...
Yeah, we normally do this between, like, 8... Well, yeah, 7 to... Well, yeah, generally.
You can call me voicemails or play them on the show.
Yep, or you can email me, colin@pittsburghcomics.com, or Facebook, find the Facebook message. Oh, good, Justin Wilson.
Or just tell him at the store. He's here all the time.
I am here all the time. So just
come on in at
9:30 a.m.
on Wednesdays.
If you're sitting at home listening to this going... No, wrong. You know, or come by.
Yeah, or you can come.
There's plenty of room at the table here because we can get rid of Adam.
Gorilla Bob.
So, Adam, did you have any books? Sorry, I didn't mean to derail you. But
no, everybody kind of talked about what we talked about. Speak up, babe.
Nice. One thing that I thought was really cool, because the technology we're using to record this is pretty amazing.
From 1973.
It is. It's quadraphonic. The recorder is quadraphonic. So I enjoyed listening in my car with it playing through all the speakers and hearing us, like, you know, Pat would be out of the left channel, and then Josh like would answer him out of the right side of the car. And it was like you guys were sitting in the car with me on different sides. So it was kind of, it was pretty cool. So I enjoyed that. That was
like
cool.
Your
and then Colin wasn't lonely anymore.
No.
I remember when we first started doing these podcasts, and you were like, which one should we do today? And you were like, switch between them, like you wanted two different types of sounds.
I was playing with my new toy. Don't you? When you get a new electronic toy, play with it? I think everybody does.
Yeah. I remember we had
He was
that.
Young and full of hope.
Yes.
We had this huge podcast that we did one day, and it was like Nick was coming. Like, so
I wonder if you could even hear on that,
because
there were so
really
many people.
Hard because we had this like in the center, but instead
we had, like,
of this
two tables together.
We had two of those
all the way around, and this all the way in the middle. But I don't even remember what we were talking about. When I think back,
New 52 just came out, so we were talking about a lot of New 52. But yeah, that was a big one.
How would that have worked? You yelled at poor Dave. And he's
I know.
Well, it's a lot of like passing. That's what we did. Like somebody started talking, and then Colin was also doing, because a lot of people were commenting online. They were just like, "We don't know who's talking. There's too many people." Because we did. Right. We had a lot of people at that time.
Yeah.
And Colin was like, "You might want to introduce yourself." So we got like, it's really awkward too, because I just, once I heard everybody else was awkward, I just stopped doing it, because like there were other people that were just like, "This is like, if Joe would come on, he'd be like, this is Joe." it was just like, it can't work, because it just seems like, well, everybody was trying too hard to remember to do it.
Yeah.
And then if they forget, they'd be like, oh, by the way, this is, you know, it's just like, But, that was always fun. And Colin invented all these characters, like Gorilla Bob and Bobby Hitler.
Anyway, Colin, what's coming next
week? What's coming next week? Now, it's kind of funny.
You want to do previews now?
Yeah. Come on, Colin.
We just passed the two-hour mark. I think we're good.
Did last week, too.
What?
Did last week.
Yeah, I know.
And the week.
So, I don't know if any of you have ever looked at the board here in the store. You've probably seen it in passing. But I write that out every Thursday morning. And most weeks, it's between like 140 and 150 different items up there.
I'm still amazed you write that thing out every week.
Mm-hmm. Which is normally like 21
like
to
a TV up there.
21 to 27 like things per line.
Yeah.
And this week was really big. I don't remember. I think there was like 31 per line up there. But, you know, a lot of big stuff. You know, I had trouble figuring out even what to put at on the front counter. Some weeks it's like I get like six if I'm lucky. But this week, everything in the world came out. And then I'm looking at going through the invoice for next week going, what's going on? Because this is a five Wednesday month.
Right.
So normally these weeks are a little bit lighter because it's normally the same amount of stuff just spread out over an extra
week. Yeah.
Well, not this time. Like I said, normally it's like 140 to 160 things up there. Next week is 209 separate items I have to write up there.
Well, DC says normal. They just have the annuals on the fifth
week. Right. And it's just, I'm looking through the list going, what the heck? But everything in the world is coming up.
Just print it.
Yep, just put
just give it out.
Couple pieces of paper up there.
No, just let people take it.
Every single person? Okay, so that makes much more sense.
If they want, you can put it in the back.
I would just get a TV. But,
yeah.
That's
yeah, smart. Everybody says, I'll just get an 8-foot TV, sure.
No one said you got to get an 8-foot TV.
Sure, they're cheap.
You can get a smart TV that you can scroll.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
But who's going to stand there and let it scroll as opposed to, they just want to see if, Red Sonja's coming next week. Oh, it is. Great. Not everybody's reading the whole thing.
No one comes in here saying, is Red Sonja coming
and say
next
never
week?
Again.
Well.
After doing it one time, I say, there's no way I'm doing this again. It's so much.
But it's just, there's a lot of stuff coming. So, Aliens versus Predator, Fire and Stone, that stuff has been selling great. The Predator and Alien stuff. So.
Is that at Star Course?
That's Star Course, yeah.
Yeah, so after they're losing Star Wars, they're going to Aliens
this
and Predator.
This has sold much better than
better than Star Wars?
No, but I didn't order it higher than Star Wars. So based on how I ordered it, it's selling great. Amazing Spider-Man, Edge of Spider-Verse tie-in. Finally, Spider-Man's actually tying into it instead of going
Spider-Man
on its own
in a Spider-Man event?
Well, I mean, it started and was going in and doing Original Sin.
Yeah.
Annihilator 2. I highlighted some of these just because they're kind of to give you my problems. But I have Annihilator number 2 coming. That's the Grant Morrison book.
You don't have
my number ones were damaged, and I haven't gotten replacements yet. That's fun. So this is going to sell well, I'm sure.
And you couldn't cut your order, could you?
No. Arrow Season 2.5, number 1. So that's the TV show, the in-between, since
right.
that starts up
That's a digital
next week.
Series.
Yeah, so now we're just getting the print copy.
Was today the new creative team on Arrow?
Green Arrow had the new creative. Yeah, when you guys were reading coming next week, I'm like, no, here's why I highlighted it, but you didn't say it. But it was the TV show creative team is writing.
See, if I didn't know that, I'd have picked it up.
Oh, well I have plenty on the show.
There's still time.
Yeah, make them.
Avengers 36 continuing the time runs out. This is now only 7 months later. And Josh, would you read that line, please? Drum roll.
Avengers and X-Men Sixes number 1.
Sixes number 1, yes. And we may or may not have the Sixes party if I can get a cake made. We'll see.
With a bunch of Sixes on it?
We'll see if I can pass all the legalese to get it actually made. Batgirl 35 with the new creative team.
Just put six apostrophe S.
Sixes. and Batman, the beginning of...
No, because we're looking at it upside down and it's Nineses. What's a Nineses?
Batman 35 comes out next week.
Snines, technically.
Yeah,
sorry. Birthright, which is an Image fantasy book.
We outnumber you.
You do. I also have Bump, graphic novel, volume 1, I Buggered the Kaiser. See, I get everything.
I Buggered the Kaiser?
Yeah, I don't know what that is. Comic Book Legal Defense Liberty annual one-shot is coming out. They come out with one of those every year to keep people out of jail. And another fun one, Copperhead number 2. Well, they forgot to put it in preview, so they just automatically ordered me what I ordered a number 1 of number 2. That was nice of them, huh?
Yeah.
Did you sell
it? Is it returnable?
I sold a few. No, I maybe. I don't know yet. Ish. Exactly. Ish. Cutter number two is coming. Cutter number one came out this week, so it's fun when stuff like that. I love weekly books that we don't know about. And World's End comes out next week. Now, another reason to point out World's End, I got a poster in this week that I put in the front door. Yeah. And World's End comes out next week, so there's a week of, oh, that comes out next week. Great.
Yeah.
You know, so I have a week to promote
Instead
that.
Instead of giving you the solicits after.
No, yeah. Well, yeah. Evil Ernie number one comes out next week. Oh, East to West Volume 3. That's one doing really well and selling really well in trade as well. X-Con number two. Number one was quite interesting.
I bet that reads better in trade, East to West. I buy the.
You know, I bet it does too. I got real lost. And I started wondering if I missed an issue, and that's kind of when I stopped reading it. Green Arrow Year One Special Edition. Basically, it's just a dollar book, but to get you. A lot of people are liking the show and come in and want to know what they should pick up, and that's an easy one, so now I have another dollar book to give out. Green Lantern Corps is the next Godhead tie in. Hawkeye versus Deadpool 1 of 4.
No.
Even though there was a zero? No?
No.
No, but I ordered so many of them.
Okay.
That's your problem.
All the Deadpool books.
No, I don't.
You don't read them all?
No. Okay. He's in like 80 Marvel books.
But everybody loves Deadpool.
You're witnessing the bubble burst right
now. See? Yep. But this is what happens. And then they stop getting one, and then they stop getting more.
Well, they're killing them off next year. So.
Yeah.
I can't.
Yeah.
Again.
Justice League United. Clary and the Witch Boy is coming out. That's from
his debut.
DC. His New 52 debut, yes.
He wasn't in one of these Teen Titans.
What timing? Chess piece? Absorbing Man. So if you liked him on S.H.I.E.L.D.,
coincidence.
Come in and pick him up. No, there's no coincidence there. That's
and the parallel white piece is Meh.
And mini-mates-wise, I got the X-Men Days of Future Past mini-mates in this week.
You can never capture her.
Next week, I'm getting Guardians of the
Galaxy.
The timing on these things is amazing.
Wow.
I love Miracle Man's coming next week. We got an issue this week.
I thought Miracle Man was this week.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, and next issue is next week. Isn't that fun?
But these are reprints.
Yeah, but weekly, where we went 8 weeks between issues at one point? Sure.
Well, they got to catch up.
Whatever. October Faction, which is a new Steve Niles book. Punks, which is interesting. It's a Josh Fialkov, Cody Chamberlain image book. I don't quite know what to make of it. I've
He's
seen
a lot
some
of
it.
Right now.
Yeah, not a lot though. A lot of his ended. Like, is he doing anything at Marvel right now? I don't think so. That was a big get when he quit DC and went to Marvel.
He's doing Bunker.
But I can't. He was doing one of the
Here's a mob
one
and or two
image books.
For
it's his job.
I don't know. He was doing one of the Ultimate.
Your nickname's gonna be Sweepy.
Isn't he doing that image book that came out that yours all got damaged and then didn't send you more? I can't think what it was.
There were so many.
Yeah, I was going to say. There was one you just talked about.
Yeah.
When's the next Where is Jake Ellis?
We don't talk about that. Nor do we talk about the author.
It's like Fight Club.
Yes. Oh, look. There's a book he's coming. Punisher's coming out.
You're in the business
of
selling comics.
I am in the business of selling comics. But
just in case
he's
you didn't
in the
remember.
He's in the business
in case you
of,
forgot.
He's in the business of publishing them in some sort of timely...
You ought to mention the giant comic book that you can't put on the
show. Oh, we'll get to that. Yeah, we'll talk about that.
It's
for
on.
Sure. Ragnarok number two, finally. That one seems a bit late. Number one sold very, very well.
Topic for next week's podcast.
And then what's his name?
What?
Who I don't remember. The Where
is
Jake Ellis
I know
author.
Who it is.
He's having his own podcast. He's like that Colin guy. He's going to be selling comics.
It's the same guy that writes Black Widow, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, bring it on.
Rocket Raccoon number four. Man, this one's popular. It has a Deadpool 75th anniversary variant, is a Stomp Out Bullying variant, and a Hasbro toy variant. Man.
There's a lot of those variants. They had a Captain America one I saw.
And the book of the week. Comics. I know you guys are all excited about Axis, but there's a book, or Sixes.
What?
But I am more excited about this book. It is the Sabrina number one, Pittsburgh Comics, Frank Avila.
Yes.
Retailer variant. So.
Will you be signing any of them?
I will happily sign any that you want.
Can you get Melissa Joan Hart in here to sign some?
Yeah.
No.
Can you get Archie?
Sorry.
To come out?
I did that when I did the Godzilla
that's
one. We had a signing because I was actually on the cover of that one.
Yeah.
This one's just really just the store logo.
Well,
but still.
Well, that's why I think you need to have Melissa Joan Hart come in here.
I never saw the actual book. I just saw
what?
It on Facebook.
Well, I'm all
There's,
out.
Really?
He's waiting till he has
like a
that's
all
exactly
all.
I only had
comic come in. That's when he'll get Melissa Joan Hart.
When I what?
Clarissa explains it all. That's when you'll get Melissa Joan Hart.
Okay. It'd be Colin climb up the ladder on the side of the house.
He doesn't know. He's not from that generation.
Where's Elvis?
Elvis the alligator.
Superman Wonder Woman number 12 is another one of the doomed Aftermath books.
Wow, how many are there going to be?
I know.
Thanos thing just died.
Thanos, I got up there listening miniseries, because, you know, Thanos has kind of randomly, partially been in a couple kind of movies.
Dear Thanos, are you up there? It's me, Jesus.
Pretty much, yes. That's exactly what I think it's going to be about. Transformers versus G.I. Joe. This is not my kind of book, but...
You love the art.
That's because you can draw better than them.
Well, I didn't watch Transformers, nor did I watch G.I. Joe. So
neither one is a real comic anyway.
Right, well.
Yeah, they're not real comics.
Then we got Vampirella Fury Tales, number one.
Shouldn't they have
Fury Tales or Fairy Tales?
Fury. F-E-A-R-Y. Tales. Instead of fairy, it's Fury.
You were thinking of, like, people dress up as animals?
Well, yeah, this is Pittsburgh. I mean,
they
always...
say Fury Tales.
Furry Tales.
Furries.
War Story. Furry.
It's not time furry. That doesn't say furry.
That's why I asked the question.
Yeah.
Are we an F?
No, we're V.
Oh.
War Stories, the new series with from Garth Ennis. He loves his war stuff. And Witches, number one, which a lot of people have been waiting for. That's Scott Snyder horror book.
The Jock. So,
yes. And
so he's got vampires.
But wait a second. If you can only get one witch book, you got to get Sabrina.
I'll let you get two witch books this week.
Okay.
It's a lot.
Okay.
Are all those different variants for that incentive variants? Or you just
for which?
For witches.
Oh,
no, I don't know what those variants
Jock
are.
Is the,
I have no
he's
idea.
The one that did,
because there was only one cover
Black Mirror.
For us.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, there was only one cover, which, so I don't know if those are all, like, different conventions variants or what, but we were never, I've seen all those, but we were never offered any of them.
Some are for some bigger shops, but there's one that's just for his local shop
okay.
on Long Island.
That could be.
Well, you know what?
You can drive to Long Island.
You think that's a podcast?
I think that's it.
Well, I need to get home to watch the end of this terrible pirate game that they're now losing 5-0.
It is.
You've been locked out of the house, Colin.
No.
It's after 10.
It is 10:11. I haven't gotten a text yet, so that's not good.
They're that mad.
Yeah.
They're just like, he likes his comic books better than his family.
And maybe we'll get to previews. We're still recording, geez. Maybe we'll get to previews next week, so we'll talk to you later. See ya.
Bye.
Bye. Is that like, hello?
This is Doubtfire showed up that day.
Faster than a bullet, leaping buildings in a single bound. Came from out the shadows, cause that's how we get down. I'm in your town. Walk between billionaires and evil scientists. Sorcerer supreme, all the teenagers are buying this. Gamma radiation, nobody could mess with this. Hold steady with venomous symbiotes in my penmanship. Your friendly neighborhood MC back on the scene. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry, all I'm seeing is green and red and blue. I hold the shield for America, when a soldier out Siberia. Rocking any microphone that's near to ya. Clobbering it till in a coffin you sit. Agenda for extinction, bring out the horsemen of the apocalypse. Part of an evil brotherhood, acolytes that believe. Super friends who make beats and cats that MC. It's the area code to the planet that we protect. The Infinity Watch is now back in effect. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's keeping on that doomsday. Ain't concerned with them other things. These rappers want to talk about ice chains and fancy cars. Me, I'm trying to build a mansion in Asgard. And fund the Hellfire Society. Studio is Cerebro. Mind patterns and rhyme, cause I rap about what I feel, though. You hear the rhythm and you're hearing the track. I'm here to take you back to days of future past in my rap. I'm the Stan Lee of the streets. Demand things when I speak, like your attention and respect when I jam these in the beats. And my tape deck pops, my mixtapes still rock. They're in your system, that's what sound waves telling me on the Bobby Drake's the only ice that I rock with. And mental telepathy is the only style that I talk with. Close your eyes, you can listen up in your mind. During this song, been freestyling there the whole time. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover, ducking press.
care. Cause you ain't seen it quite like this. Because that's how we do it in the 616. Hey yo, Vince. Drop the beat out. I'm gonna go Pietro on these cats. Right? Yeah. Spitting a rhythm that nobody's getting. I'm down to the infinite watches. The wisdom will battle these limited children. I'm ripping tracks. I go Mark 5 with a power pack. Hawkeye, what I'm aiming at. Stop time. Watch your chain react. Can't lie. I'm a brainiac. Little they know I'm stealing the show. I'm filling the streets. Unlimited flow. The second of Doc Ock when I'm killing it. Yo, please. Shots to your chest. You're rocking a mess like Cable did. I'm hungry as Wally West at a kitchen table. Nobody will save you, kid. I'm Frank with a gun. I'm Hank with his son. I'm Wob when I skip lunch. Eating rappers, man. So thanks for the gum. I'm Stark's wallet back before all these banks had a run. I'm Lex Luthor when I rap. I'm trying to blank out the sun. Cause all I see are friendly faces and shifty eyes. Keeping these anonymous commenters honest. Making them realize. You love to hate me on the net when I try. That's why you get no love when you're up on my block. Now, put your hands.